Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we bow our heads before thee this morning with thanks in our heart for the many blessings seen fit to bestow upon us. We're grateful for our health and for family, friends, and for the lives that we are able to share, enjoy the Deer Springs property. Please, this meeting today, that we can have a spirit of cooperation and discuss through business items and things, and keep the betterment of the whole in the ranch at the core, and trying to bring our decisions together and move forward in a productive manner. We're grateful for all of thy blessings, and we ask for a blessing for all those that will travel out after this meeting today, that they may return to their respective homes in safety. And we do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, we go around the room. We do a quick roll call. Let's go on. Who's online first?
Mark, it's Vance. Bob's trying to call in, but since we had to scramble at the last minute, I don't know that we're going to be able to get the more than one person on at a time.
All right. We'll listen down here on Mark. Mark Graham.
I got you.
Let's see. All right. I'm going to try to take notes here if we're going along here too, guys, since we don't have Shauna here. Okay, if you would please, thank you. All right. Moving on to the approval of the November 2012 board minutes. Anybody have any questions about any of those? Do I get a chance to read them over? I have a four everybody.
Do you have those minutes available? I never got them. Never saw a copy of them all month.
We got them out.
We didn't get an approved copy. That's why you didn't get it.
Oh, okay.
All right. We'll make sure these are forwarded to you. Right, Linda?
Uh-huh.
All right. We have making a motion to approve the minutes as they are so presented in front of us right now.
They're still reading them.
Yep.
Which is good.
I did bring some brownies here too. If anybody wants any brownies, they're not magical, but they're brownies.
Please,
Mr. get a second to read over that. while they're reading over that, they're skimming over that to get their approval on that anyway. So let's jump into Linda. You want to give us a revisit of the 2013 budget? See what we got to do to balance it?
Actually, Jody was on those prepared to do that. We're off, I think, was somewhere around $800,000. I can't remember for sure. I didn't prepare that presentation because Jody was going to do that. I do have her notes here, the worksheet for where we got and where we are wanting to get to balance it. So I would suggest that we table this until she gets here.
We'll move that to the back in the meeting a little bit longer. Give her a chance to get in here if she's slept in or whatever. Let's give her a chance to show up for that.
Financial report. Our financial report. You all have a copy of that. There's a copy up here if any of you would like some. By the time we're done paying our bills, there's another check that I just wrote. Now we're going to end up with about $1,000 in our account from this year's income. So we've pretty much
spent
it
off. So, well, what you guys didn't know, I tried to call Jody yesterday, not knowing if she wasn't out of town. I did call Linda. Chris called me about a problem with the grader. We did lose a tire. These are tires we've been trying to save by putting in tubes of them. Tubes cost $80 plus all the time to break them down anyways. Their tires are worn, had big chunks missing out of them and so forth. We were trying to get along with it as long as we can. So I did go ahead and pick up two tires when I came in last night. Tires are the same price. Chris cross-checked them here for pricing. So I brought them out of Vegas. They were readily available. We didn't have to wait for 2 weeks to get the tires in.
They're $550 each.
That included all the ballast stems and everything else. That Chris had a price of $500, but we didn't have all the other. We need to change all the mouse stems and all that other stuff out when they do it too. So, without waiting 2 weeks downtime, I went ahead and brought that in. If there's any objections, I'll take the things back. But we need to have them. So, we were out without a tire on the grader right now. So.
Good move.
All right. And who do you ride in with? So you got a truck you can haul the tires back with, okay? All right, so that was the other check that Linda just said she just had to write out. They weren't originally counting on. And with that repair too, we are going to need to the first of the year. I know we talked about tires during our budget for that thing eventually. We are going to need to put the other two sets on there, so we have four drives on it. Because if you don't match up your tires on that thing, we have a possibility of damaging some serious drivetrain, right? So we can get by for a little short while on that. We can buy a month on that one if we do that. And as long as we're not roading it, Chris, as long as we're just doing, you know, like your slow work, so just trying to road it for like the pond to the ranch house, you shouldn't do any damage. If you're just, you know, in work mode, it'll be fine. Larry, you have any doubts on that one? Am I right on that?
You probably know more than I do.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I
sounds like a good idea. Yeah. I mean, try to limit the.
No, like I said, if we don't, I know the chains on that thing on that drive will cost about $10,000 if we blow them, and we don't want to do that. Yeah. So I just know that from working on the heavy equipment. So, all right. Moving forward, on the roads and fire protection.
You don't want to do ranch managers?
Oh, sorry. I didn't see that right there. All right. Chris, please, give us a report. What's going on at the ranch?
We're improving a lot of the roads, widening some where they're really narrow. Improving all the roads.
What areas have you been working on?
The upper end of Broad Hall, I believe. Slide Canyon, those areas are Bill had a car plan come through and widen some of the really narrow spots. Some problem areas, and then I just come back and smooth things up.
Okay. That's our last meeting. Also, Chris, myself, and Brent fixed the corner of the barn that was falling down. That was a pretty good undertaking, thanks to Brent's help and his forklift. we got that all up and going.
I've also got a panel to replace the gate right there at the well field. The gate hasn't seen it, it's falling apart.
Did you want to, Ben, did you want Chris to talk about the Kubota now during the management report?
Sure.
We had the guy from John Deere come out to the ranch yesterday. And I had him, he's going to look, he's going to give us a couple of prices on one is going to be returning the Kubota, and one is going to be trading the Kubota in for a newer tractor. And so we're just going to see what the best for us there.
The impression we got is he wants to get his hands on this Kubota so he can resell and make a profit. We both feel the same way.
Yeah. He, with that clutch was fixed.
He didn't tell us. We can fix this thing. He was pretty impressed with the tractor.
For as many hours.
I kept selling him on the bad stuff, and he kept saying, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. So here's a guy who wants to sell a new tractor who's telling us this is not as bad as it appears. So we both kind of came to the conclusion that once we get the numbers back, as far as fixing that clutch and a couple of things, we might want to seriously consider that over a new tractor. But let's see what the numbers come back. So,
can I ask why that's the wrong tractor? That's what I got from the notes from the comments that were made. Why is the different one better?
Well, I think it's really an overkill. I mean, there's a lot of problems with that thing. It's not just the clutch that's wrong with it. The hydraulics, there's no down pressure. Cylinders are all leaking past. If you hold that bucket up in the air, that all just drips down. I never got a chance to get into that because I was way over budget anyway than what I was investing in it personally, versus what we got paid out when I took it to Vegas. I did get a chance to get into the hydraulic system, but something's failing in there. The clutch is going. Some of that, I mean, the four-wheel drive portion is nice, but I mean, I think we can get a cheaper tractor that'll be more fuel economical for us. That'll get in some of these tighter areas and maybe do a little bit more work for us. You know, there's a lot of things on there that don't function because of the, I think this was a used tractor when we bought it, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know that I didn't take away from it that it was the wrong, I mean, I think there was one comment that it may be more horsepower than we really need. Part of it is just the condition of it and in that the location to be mechanic and for an hour, every hour of work and it's unproductive fast. I mean, it's either that or, like I said, if we take it in and keep going through it and put more and more money into it, or if we can get zero interest or something on a new machine and pay it off over several years. And
I mean, we might be able to get quite a bit on trade-in. We're both looking at it like it's in pretty bad shape. He was looking at, and this is the guy that's in the business, and he was looking at it like it's not that bad. Obviously, he would have to put some money into it and then turn around and resell it. But I think that he looked at it like, well, you know, from a standpoint of if your company making money, he could probably do it.
I mean, for instance, I mean, to change that clutch, I'm just going to strictly guess it's probably about $4,000 to $5,000 job. And you get to split the tractor in half on that one to do.
One of the things he did say is that they can probably, they can match the hydraulic mechanism to fit that our snow plow that we currently have for the Kubota. He says that the bucket set up on there is pretty much a standard skid steer type of a connection, and they sell the same kind of thing that can match up. So
We've got that rear blade implement for that thing. I don't think it's ever been used for it.
I think that there were some decisions made, and I personally would hate to see us go under a lot of expense to trade something that would be marginal. I think that tractor needs to be worked rather than needs to be sold.
It needs to be worked, but yeah, it needs to run good enough to work. I mean, that clutch is slipping just about the point where it's about done.
There's a clutch problem.
Yeah.
But that's different than a $40,000 new tractor.
I don't think it's going to bear that much.
I don't know. What we talked about last night, I would vote against selling the Kubota.
Didn't we just put a clutch in that not too long ago? Or?
I don't know.
Just a year or two ago, Brent?
What's that?
Didn't we just put a clutch in that Kubota a year or two ago?
No, we thought we needed a clutch, and they went in and just adjusted her.
We tightened it because it was slipping. Okay. And me and Chris made some adjustments. There was really no adjustments left on it. We had to alter. I had to cut the bolt to make it so there's a little bit more throw on it when it was stuck up at the top of Metal Canyon, just to get enough. It's on that last leg right now for stroke.
It was about 7 or 8 years ago that we adjusted the clutch, and I thought we were pretty much at the end then.
Oh boy.
Well, let's see what the numbers come up at least, and let's visit that. I mean, we're still using it right now, right? So that's the good thing. It's still workable. But hopefully we can have some.
Is that a wet clutch or a dry clutch?
It's going to be a wet clutch on that one.
Surprised it wore out. So using less quite as quite one.
There's also a really bad oil leak right there to the transmission.
Well, if you run low on oil, it won't take longer, really. That's for sure. Because a wet clutch has to be wet the whole time.
Well, I know when I first got on the machine in July. June or July, whenever I came, did all that work. Oils were pretty much empty on a lot of that stuff. There has been no maintenance done on that stuff for so long, and that's what I said.
Wet clutches will last forever.
Unless they're driven wrong, and you put the wrong gears, you can smoke those things. They're, you know, if you're in the wrong application and trying to run too high of a gear, then yeah, you'll slip that thing all over yourself. Okay. Well, let's get some numbers from that, and let's...
That was the purpose of this, was follow up and get the actual numbers so we know what we're dealing with, and then we can make a decision.
They may humor us with a real decent offer. I don't know. But I remember talking about in the last meeting is, you know, we can start, you know, if it's going to take, I'm just strictly guessing, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 to pull that thing. See, some of that front structures that actually welded on because the fins were coming out. Somebody's gone in there and welded it all in. One of my concerns was using that bucket when I was doing it in June or July. It looked like the pins were in front of the cab were about to fall out. So one of the things we took care of, what we was going to do while we were in Vegas with it, I was going to pound those back in, but my guys couldn't pound it. They got in there looking. So I got in there and welded them all out solid.
I don't know what Jody, she remembers and what we have in the budget. The bottom line is, for DSROA, we're going to spend $12,000 next year, whether we keep the Kubota or we put that into a new tractor. We can have a new tractor a third to a quarter of the way paid for, or we can fix up the Kubota to get a few more years out of it. And
Brad did say that he might be able to find us a good, you know, they do leases.
Right. But any of those, they'll go through it and still warranty it out of their shop and put it on the John Deere financing, you know, so we pay for it over a 36 months.
There's 4,000 in here to repair the Kubota on next year's budget.
There may be another category. We had talked about, we whittled it back from 12 to 10.
Okay.
Well, there was a difference. There's tractor thing we put on March or April.
Oh, that's right.
April on.
We put like 9,000.
8,000 on it. It's 8,000 on his budget for that for next year. That's, we figured that payment situation before.
Well, and then there's one factor that we haven't talked about, and that is the simple, every time it breaks down, we either got to haul it to fix it, you know, or we got to have somebody come out there and do it. And that becomes that really becomes an issue. So if we have something that doesn't break down, so we don't have to haul it, we don't have to do that, that's another factor.
Remember when Kubota is a off brand? Kind of had to get specialized parts from the special dealership. I mean, where John Deere stuff's all pretty common. It's got a good track record, I personally think. But and I know from towing that thing, and you have to get pretty much get a big rig in there. And I illegally towed it. I mean, drastically from.
Well, Brad was telling us that they had a the church farm down in Hurricane just traded in a tractor almost exactly like ours. That had 12,000 hours on it. Had minimal problems with it during that 12,000 hours of use, but it had essentially the same operator the whole time. So it didn't have, you know, our big problem is we've had multiple operators. Now that we've got one competent person, you know, that can really change it, especially if we buy something new.
What's the hours on that machine right now?
4,414.
Okay, that's... Well, typically on the heavy equipment, it's every 10,000 hours you go through and rebuild the engine. It's pretty standard stuff. So. We've got half the life out of the thing anyways before we go into motor. So that's normal. But,
okay, all right, let's get some numbers. You know, follow through with that, Brent and Chris, if you would, and see what they come up with, and let's revisit that. Next month.
Before you live on?
Yes.
Do you have any receipts or running money?
I have everything right there.
Okay, it's been a month and a half, and your financial report is probably not completely correct because I need to have those receipts in order to do my work.
Need to get in here this week.
One question I have is this Canap Farm and Ranch. What is all that paid for? It says cow, hay, and horse hay.
Horse at the ranch.
Say it again.
We have a horse at the ranch.
We have a horse at the ranch.
Yes. We talked about that in the last meeting.
Okay, so this is feed.
Doug left a horse behind, and we'll be able to use that to look at some of the fence line and.
The horse is for us to use.
It's a tool that I'm using to
tool.
Check.
Yeah.
Okay, but and that's fine. Yeah. I'm just trying to get figured out because I have to put it in the book. Cow hay?
I was getting the best deal for next week.
Okay, because this ended up being a $320 expense that I wasn't expecting. So I need to know then. We need to have our budget for feed. I thought the horse.
We had $1,000 for
graze.
We put some in there on that budget last week.
Okay.
For that.
Okay. Is this horse used to grazing or eating hay? Do you have him in the field?
This horse cannot be in the field.
Okay. Okay.
All
right.
Anything else, Chris, on your report?
Well, except I need this is a this is an issue. Okay. I need to have the receipts. It's a real issue. I need to see you guys once a week. So that money and those receipts can come to me. If you don't want to see me personally, which some people don't, that's okay.
I will take over that part of the.
You can leave it at ERA. If there's a box for ranch managers there, but it's got to happen once a week. And I don't want you to make a special trip in to do that.
No, I totally agree.
Okay. It's just so I can do my job right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. And there's also the times when either somebody else, Larry's coming in or somebody else coming in, you can always get it to them too.
And during the summer, there's money involved with that because of the store.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that before we move?
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
Well, Is that finishing our financial report?
Well,
we're still going through it.
We're waiting on that financial report.
Is there anybody that's out of the wrench that we could call to go check on Jody? You guys are all here.
Call down.
Larry tried calling her. Now, does her phone work at her place?
I don't think so. I called her cell phone.
Yeah, I did too.
Like I can call her.
That'd be great. And I'm just worried about her.
She's not on the radio because she usually calls me when she comes up on the repeater.
Did anybody talk to her since she would have arrived at the ramp?
Well, I usually hear from her when she's coming up too, and I didn't hear anything. You know,
I'm going to call her house.
Ben, will you tell us on the Title V, the roads, there's a few of us working on getting this all rechartered with the BLM and with the,
yeah, I brought these amazing letters that just came from Mark Foley here. There's two different letters that I brought to give to you.
Okay.
Let me just tell you what, after our meeting, what he said. Let's see, he wrote two letters within a couple of days. November 13th, thank you for your letter. November 2nd, which Linda sent to modify our amendment. He said, I've already started working on it. This application is for Slide Canyon, also known as Kanab Office Road 112 and 122B. We received a $392 processing fee via check. Thank you for your payment. A copy of the receipt is attached. I have started working on your application. Our goal is to complete application processing within the next 60 days. However, due to overload of our staff, please note that it may take longer than 60 days. In the meantime, there are a few items that we need to complete the application. First, please take a look at the enclosed map and make sure the right-of-way area you are requesting is properly noted on the map. For example, you'll see on map 1, the initial request for Slide Canyon was for 14,900 feet by 50 feet wide or 17 acres total, and using the following legal description. However, this description would not include the upper portion of Kanab Field Office Route 122B, as highlighted on map 2 with the legal description, yada, yada. Please be sure to let me know if you wish to include this upper portion of KFO Route 122V on your application. Which I've looked at that, and that's on one of the other. It's not. We already have a Title V on that. That's the piece that goes up through the middle by Larry. He doesn't own his lot anymore.
Walters.
Larry Walters' old lot. You know, we went up through that valley, and then Larry did that little spur. But, you know, that's already included on our other Title V. We don't need to reapply for it, even though it is kind of up the head of Slide Canyon. Second, please provide a detailed road plan for the development of your proposal. I have included a general road plan for development outline. This plan to develop are used to evaluate the application and are included in the terms and conditions of any grant authorization that may be used. The plan for development is also a good place to include your justification and explanation for requesting a 50-foot wide easement or to describe if a narrower width is feasible. Third, please confirm that you wish my office to follow up on your initial request for a rental waiver or a reduction so I can complete that request if needed. The $213 per acre rent for linear right-of-way fee is $49 per year. This fee is adjustable annually. With the current proposal of 17 acres, your first year rent without a waiver would be $857, and even more if the upper portion is added. Fourth, if you have not yet, please coordinate with Kane County Road Department about your proposal, as the county may have be able to assist in this project. I attached a copy of the letter I initially sent to Kane County in December 2011 for your review. Please remember, so some of the stuff that you know, you reported and met with us there, whatever, we need to report back to you. He finishes all these with, please remember that you do not have authorization and cannot conduct any activity related to your right-of-way proposal on public land without having received an authorization grant from our office. Thank you for your assistance. And so some of that, because I know that you have your own reporter, you're coordinated with Kane County now, and some work up through there is being done, and we got to keep him in the loop, because if not, like I've said all along, this guy is the biggest stickler, and doesn't matter what anybody else says, he is the boss in his area. If he goes up and says, well, I didn't know any of this was happening, I'm red tagging the whole thing, then we're going to have more of an issue. And that was his letter. And then he followed up 2 days later with this. Says, as a follow-up letter by November 13th, I am processing the rental waiver request for Deer Springs Ranch Owner Association submitted. The rental application is for a non-tax exempt homeowner association. Will you please forward me a copy of the association's tax exempt certification? I will need to include a copy of that so we can move forward with the BLM state director in seeking a rental waiver. So, you know, because we've continued to try to get that in some of the original easements, we did get it. I don't know what our current status is with, you know, we'll have to check with Linda and Niall Willis if we actually have a tax exempt number certification, because if not, just this little section of road, you know, before when we had that approved, it was based on these are all existing roads and it was pennies on the dollar. You know, we just paid that $5,000 fee, and now with this, just this little section will be $800 and something a year. It starts adding up pretty quick where we're going to be paying $10,000 a year just in our road easements on roads that now we're asking permission to use, which we already thought we did own and we have been using for 40 years. So anyway, that's the update. I just brought that. When it came, I pulled it out so that, you know, we could go over Mark because she'll build out the application.
So Linda needs to go ahead and find out what kind of tax information we have to forward on them on that.
Right.
And then...
So do you want me to scan this and email it so everybody has, a copy of it, and so you can see some of it that you
have to have a copy.
Coordinate some of what you're doing with the county specifically on the Slide Canyon Road.
He easily checks his phone. If he has the best call, he'll call back.
The county was going to talk directly with the BLM the last time I talked with the county.
With Bert?
Yeah. He's going to contact the BLM.
Well, and I knew that he had sent this even before, and he put copy in here. This letter was December 13th, 2011, a year ago, that went to Lou Pratt on this right-of-way. And I know that verbally they told him, we don't see a problem, you know, we're happy to cooperate, whatever.
Is Lou still in charge down there?
No, this Bert really is kind of the boss now over Lou. I think.
I can't tell.
Well, Bert's technically the head. Lou's over the road equipment and work in the field, but Bert is, you know, the authority over roads for King County. And they both work together, so it's kind of, shifted some.
If you can scan that, Ben, and forward it to us, that's
your So our tasks on this, Linda, if you'll write it down, is Dale will coordinate with Kane County on the stuff he's doing in Slide Canyon. We need you to research with you or Niall Willis if we do have some kind of a tax exempt certificate that he's asking for, and get that to Mark so that he can try to process this at no fee instead of the fair market rate that they would usually charge. And then he's kind of moving forward. I can get with him, or any of us can get with him and let him know that, you know, the maps are included. You'll see that on page 1 and 2, these maps, that this 122V, we don't need to include on this application. It's part of our already existing Title V. stuff up there, and I.
Isn't this part of the whole thing to roof it all into one anyway? Well, not really.
I mean, what he's talking about here is still a little different than what we talked with Hugh Wolf about, going back and trying to get all the dates and all the roads on one application and one number, and they all come due at the same time. And so we deal with it once every 10 years instead of having a few roads expire and then a few years later deal with it all again for a few others. So that's a discussion we still need to have with both of them as soon as we can get some of this information together. Okay.
I don't think there is any tax-free certificate or anything. It is a Utah nonprofit corporation. And that should be adequate to
just get
the original one, the one back in 1980, the fees were waived. There was no charge to that because DSROA is a nonprofit Utah corporation. And I think that same evidence may be what Foley's looking for.
Okay. That may be sufficient. So we can pull that. Okay. That's the update of where we are in the Title V. Hopefully, you know, mainly to keep working through that this winter and have that, you know, something that we can do and getting things clarified to finish work then next spring.
All right. And that's it for the roads and fire protection item. Next item on the agenda is the Agriculture and Wild Act from them.
Do we have many longhorns running around?
They should be out.
They're all gone. Well, I know he's moved the majority. I mean, we've always usually got a few stragglers that he's looking for somewhere in some side canyon or anything. But
he's got a couple horses that he's going to come to get in the next week or so.
Okay.
Horseship for your campus.
Okay. So if we've got. Almost out. That was the main thing. I mean, since our last meeting, we did have Taylor go up and finish the fence at the upper end of the meadow, up the hill, which you know is as far as he thinks that he can go without. You know, if that doesn't work, we're looking at going to the top of the mountain. Which is
I walked through that ridge line right across the ranch house. There is a fence. It starts right there. Past French House to the north, mm-hmm. and it goes down to the wash and up, and then to the south.
Yeah, there.
I haven't followed all that up, but
it should drift into out across the BLM from our private ground diagonal to the southeast and tie in to the north of the old Carl Jameson Ranch.
Right there by the road. Crosses in the wash.
Yeah, if you turn up before you get to the ranch, I'll take that entire road, goes down and crosses the wash. His property is kind of fenced, and it should tie in down there. It's across the BLM, so we cannot move it. There's no way we're going to apply and go build a new fence off the site.
From what I saw, I didn't want the whole thing to
look too. Yeah, yes, to make that Pier Springs Point pasture cow tight so we can rotate, that's got to be repaired and you know, cow worthy, so that is okay. One that we do need to work on. So he finished that.
I'm just trying to write it down.
The north end of the meadow, lot 161, above the red reservoir.
He finished it.
No, he finished it and extended it another. Quarter of a mile. I can't remember how many feet he estimated or something, a couple hundred yards. When he gave me a report, it was further than I thought he needed to go, but he thought that was the best place to terminate it. And then he finished the fence by your lot on the west side, where that's all finished all the way and tied into the hills at our southwest private property boundary.
I did notice cows up in the property across, where the house is up in that canyon. Is that part of our land?
No.
How did they get over there?
Well, it's still, there's no fence between there and our BLM. If those cows water clear back out to the the old gravel pit where the windmill was
and
stuff. They could wander in. There's no fence between there. Oh, that 160 acres is a neighboring piece of private ground to ours.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to see the cows up in there. So that's not a fence they need to pick.
No.
No.
If they want them on there, I mean, same thing as anything else. If they don't want our cows on there, they need to build a fence.
It's their fence.
It's their fence to keep the fence off their property.
Okay.
You know, there's no fence at all there. It's not like broken down fence. That 160 acres on the west side, I don't think has ever been fenced. So.
Oh, it was fenced. Pioneer fenced.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What about what we were talking on the last board meeting about Hunt not using all the available land and maybe possibly letting others come in for some substantial rewards to the association? Did you get a chance to talk with Doug about that?
Yeah, briefly. Linda and Doug stopped in my, but it was before the last meeting, so I kind of reported there. I mean, I kind of give the same report now, you know, with.
I don't know, Dale, did you get a chance to talk to Ben about
what Steve
said about that? I mean, I see, for those who don't know, we've got the Steve boys out there to Colorado are looking to run some cattle also maybe on our property if we can. What they've offered and what I understand they've offered is a whole bunch of fence work and groundwork to, you know, remove some of the sagebrush, plant more grass and so forth for us, which I see it's one of our big items on our budget. You know, we've got fencing's on our budget. We've got brush hogging on our budget and everything else, but yet we've got $12,000 next year coming in from Hunt, and we're going to spend more than that just to keep them on our property.
Well, the ranch used to run 210 cattle.
We used to run more than that.
Maybe
117. Yeah, we used to run 200 or 300 plus calves. So,
well, here's my point for what it's worth. We've been back with Brent Robinson or different people over the last 20 years running the ranch and paying us $4,000. That's where it was again. You know, that's where it was when I was on the board back in the 90s. Then we brought Doug in. We doubled the rate of the grazing. The board, you know, we doubled the income to the ranch. And then I'm still not sure, after I left the board, there were several things done that Doug got jacked around to the point that he left and was gone for 10 years. So when we got back involved, you know, then the ranch had their own little cattle herd. And here, 4 years ago, we took the association's cows that hadn't been treated, vaccinated, cut, branded, or anything for a year or so, and we took them to the auction, and we started working with a couple different people. Johnson, who did the dryland farming, had cows up there, and Doug had his cows up there. And that year, I mean, 3 years ago, our total income for cattle grazing was $4,000. Doug does run an operation with his purebreds that he can't run in common pasture with, you know, a bunch of other mixed breeds. So that's when he said, look, I know that the ranch will run twice as many cows, and so I'll pay you for twice as many cows. Whether I bring them or not, I'm paying for them. He said at that time he was losing some other pasture in a year or two. And so, for example, this year, Doug would have brought at least 50 more head this year, but with no winter water last year, he didn't bring them for the benefit of the forage on our ranch at the same time that he paid us for those cows and bringing them. And so his lease right now is loud and clear, extremely crystal clear. He owns every bit of the grazing on the ranch and has exclusive right, and no one else can run a cow anywhere on the ranch. He has agreed that if some members under the old, you know, commitment, that he would cooperate if a member had some beef steers that are properly cut and they're not breeding bulls or whatever, that he would work with that. And we really haven't had anybody do that the last couple of years. And so, a couple of things. I hesitate. As soon as we get that agreement, we sign him a 10-year lease, then, we were graduating from 12,000 this year to 13,000 next year to 14,000 the next year, and partially because he was going to bring more cows as these other leases that he had were expiring, and he said, I need to know in my operation, either I've got to keep them and stay there the next 10 years or come to Deer Springs. I can't get kind of jacked around, and so we signed that agreement. Now here we are less than a year later saying, well, maybe we could bring somebody else in.
I just think there's a lot of land that we're not using then.
Well, okay, we're getting paid triple the price that we did for the last 10 years for it. And so where we have so many members that would rather not see any cows, or they're kind of nice, but they don't want to see a lot of things. There is areas that haven't been used in 30 years. I'm not opposed to saying, working with Doug and saying, Doug, here's an area you haven't touched in 30 years. Nobody else has. If we want to take Johnson's and we're going to go and work out in Podunk and work on fences that haven't been touched in 30 years and graze area that hasn't been touched in 30 years, that's one thing. The proposal, what I've seen so far, is to go in and kick Doug off of anything within a mile of the ranch house and the main areas that he has been using and is relying on, that's completely... You know, right, that's not fair or in keeping with our agreement.
And I say, you know, with Podunk and across the burn from Bozay's all the way over, that, you know, nobody's ever used.
And then I think that some of those areas that haven't been used maybe are worthy.
Is he game for that?
You know, I don't.
Because we could get a lot of that benefit out of the ranch.
Well, I might clarify. Years ago, we had as much as $18,000 a year income off of grazing. Poor management of the Deer Spring board allowed it to drop down to $4,000 for whatever it is being said. So I think it's the board's fault that happened.
But that hasn't happened since 1990. So what happened in the 70s and 80s?
Well,
we haven't had $18,000 income since we lost our summer pasture up on the forest and things back in the 80s.
Even later than that there was with hemograph and some of them.
I can tell you how Doug does run his cows. He does that separate herds and he likes to keep those herds.
Well, he has to promote. He needs to have at least two, if not three, herds for his breeding.
It needs to be managed, as you say, very different than it has been and it could be. There is feed up there that's not being used. I'm not pushing... Alan Steve keeps calling me, and I think there's feed there that could be used, but it has to be done cooperatively with Doug.
Yeah, and I'm not saying anything about, you know, moving Doug. I'm just saying, are we using the best for potential of our property? You know, if we're not using a big portion of it, can't we just have, you know, can we approach Doug? Say, listen,
I don't want to
jeopardize. No, our relationship.
We
with
can
Doug.
Approach Doug and say, Doug, here's an area that, you know, I took him and looked at areas in Upper Slide up where some of those, you know, bottoms are, and again, it's a lot of the limitation. Not a lot. 100% of the limitation is Deer Springs fences and Deer Springs water sources. As we improve fences and we improve water sources, then we can, you know, graze those areas. So to say, we or cooperative joint venture with a new entity, we're going to go and work in an area that you haven't touched, I'm happy to push Doug and say, Doug, you can't whine about something that you never knew existed. But to take anything away from him that he has already used, that he has paid for,
I agree.
And I worked with Doug this last year and told Doug in his lease, the only area that he is not allowed, it's really not included in his lease, is like the well field behind and above the ranch house. Some of that stuff around the ranch house was for our agricultural production. We just seeded that. We just spent thousands of dollars to seed that. I don't want to see any cow, longhorn or shorthorn or greyhorn or two-leg or anything.
I want to see kind of
nothing,
get out
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, nothing should be on that this year to try to get exactly take seed and produce. And so that's where, you know, we had in, I think, our July meeting, and, you know, and he had cows still in the well field where, had, you know, they was eating down to nubs of stuff that had been planted. And I talked to him and said, we're going to kick them out and close gates, and anytime we see them in there, you are not allowed to be in there. again, sometimes they'll
we need to really get that well filled fence fixed up during this winter time here before the next
and that's one area that, you know, I've talked with Chris and stuff and even Jeff before, as far as, you know, something that they can do within eyesight of the ranch house and stuff.
A couple poles in my area.
To, you know, that, you know, they can't be doing fence that's 5-6 miles out and watch the bucks a year. May help, but you know, some members will say, I would rather not. I'd rather fence off my parcel and still just pay the full rate. But
got it. Just wanted to throw that out.
I talked with the county assessor 2 or 3 times last year, and I think there is a chance of getting the taxes lowered, providing we have some cooperation and participation in the law orders. I think we can. We went through the state on protest twice and won both times. I think we can do it again. And we're paying $60,000 up there for no services. That's about what the tax bite is. And I think it's time that we visit with the county, the assessor, or the commissioners, and try to make a change. But I think it's got to be done on a super cooperative, friendly, positive basis. But I think that there is a chance of making some major changes in that area, which would help everybody.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, we could pay a lot out there and not get any services at all. We could have a better road out there.
It's a two-edged sword that, you know, we're paying for those services, but then we won't allow them to do it because the association as a whole has voted we don't want to open up the ranch roads as public roads. We don't want the county to maintain it. We're trying to cover that nickel and dime and to keep, you know, maintain all the private roads while we're paying them to do it. And so, yeah, if all the lots taxes went down $150 and even $100 that went into, you know, raised the assessment $100 or whatever, you know, we'd have another $30,000 just to work on road and road equipment and maintaining that road grader and stuff. But it's tough to then, you know, pay for stuff we're not getting.
Well, there's things like this that I'd like to see the board work on. Everybody has really gone to a great expense, time, and effort to be here. And should we push to try and get the Scudamore Road number one maintained or number two even paved? I think that there's a reason that road should and could be paved, which would make a quite of a difference. Would there still be resistance from some Deer Springs owners that wants to go across a dirt road 1 week out of every 3 or 4 years when they're there? Or could there be a unified effort on the part of Deer Springs and all of its members to press for paving that next 13 miles of road?
What about chip and seal?
Chip and seal, whatever. Let's start an all-weather surface. They're going to be spending some time. They've ignored it now for 4 or 5 years, blaming it on the BLM. And that's true. So there's funds that they have not spent to even place. And I think with the right kind of approach, that they could look seriously about budgeting or paving the road out that far. But I think somebody needs to put together petitions or organize it or do something. Otherwise, I think the county has plenty of other squeaky wheels that they're trying to work on.
Last I heard, the business owners in Kanab didn't want to pay. So that's Cottonwood Road, actually, that they were talking about, which they've closed completely. But because you have to go through Kanab to get up north or come through Kanab to get down, the business owners didn't want that paid because it would be a cutoff. People are already using it because of their GPS telling them that it's a road, and we have all kinds of problems as a result of that. So That is one concern.
I think it's a good thing that the board could look seriously at, Mark, and be something very worthwhile for everybody to consider.
Okay.
One thing, they've got buku gravel that they haven't even tried to put on Stephen Paul Road. Now they got trees for a brand new gravel pit over there on the Glendale bench. If you go there between, Johnson Canyon and Alton.
Place called the Old.
That's a 50 mile an hour road now because they gravel it. Even gravel it there.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a real smooth road, except for this last storm when I came up there.
They already, because the county already told us that they weren't going to do any work on that road for a year or two because what they were trying to do is they had a lot of problems. Because of the landslide up on Cedar Mountain.
Right.
They told us that. And they said they'd come start working on over in that area, but they hadn't. Their priority was to get that road open, get that stuff done up on Cedar, and then they would come over.
Right.
Right. So they really all the time told us that. I think we're going to see something, but maybe mentioning it would probably keep them on path that we want that done. Our request.
And they opened up Cottonwood Canyon.
Or did they?
Yeah, they completed it a week or two ago.
Just recently, eh?
Okay.
My husband is sorry.
All right. Anything else, Ben, on agriculture and wildlife?
That's it. I haven't heard anything on that report on from Larry. He's working on that proposal that he'll work through the winter. The only other thing, and again, we're going through the agenda, was based on the minutes. And this is the one thing that Shauna's now here. Shauna,
yes.
You did these minutes for November, right? And
yep.
That you sent out. We did look at them.
Did you have any changes?
Well, we approved them as is. My thing, Linda had emailed me and asked for, I kind of just kept a task to-do list from last meeting.
It's on the agenda.
That's on the agenda, but even looking through this, there were several other things that I just get frustrated. We meet and bring up more questions, and next week we meet and bring up more questions, and we don't seem to answer the question from the last three meetings. So, I don't know, when we got to some of these areas, then to try to bring up these questions and answer them or decide they don't need to be answered.
Particular one were you thinking of?
Well, it's under rare, so I'll skip it. Well, I'm just looking under at least cattle and crop management. We did get seed and reseeded all the well field and a little bit up on top. And around the ranch headquarters, in the ranch yard. So we got that seed, used the John Deere drill that we bought last year. Just after the November meeting.
Okay, so what we need to do is report.
Right.
So you're making reports.
Yeah, so I'm just looking back at last month's meeting to look at kind of what we brought up, what we talked about we were going to do. It has in here this insurance, and I don't know. We found out some stuff on our insurance that was covered, but Linda and I didn't get through.
I don't want to feeding the well field and all that stuff. We get everything
okay.
set. Okay. So feeding the well field was done.
Yep.
And I think I put in that they worked on that cabin from the time before. Because you guys finished up shoring up the barn, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And that was sent then, too, because it was right after the meeting?
Yes, it was after the meeting.
Okay. And you also moved all the electronics down into the office of the headquarters, didn't you? That's great. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. Larry's still doing that. He was talking, before we get into turkey season in the spring, but he was looking at getting a contract with this Travis Heaton or somebody that may contract that out so that we have not only Larry, because sometimes he's not able to always be there, but have a professional guide with anybody that's there on the ranch. And they may just, like we've done in the past, contract and take our hunting permit and pay us and then, do their guide service on top of that and run it as contract service, so they're supposed to get us a written proposal. I'm sure, I mean, I haven't seen anything yet. So that's all I have on wildlife.
Should we go back to that and answer some things that have happened?
Well, I would take them in. We just need to look back at it as we go through each item and refer back to it. When we get to roads, then I have a question on roads or water or whatever. Oh, the other thing is, and I can call them, we have not got, have we filled out the year-end grading report for the BLM? You got those numbers that got sent in and paid. But we are waiting for a check from Doug to pay the second half, because he pays half going in and half at the end.
Right.
We haven't got yet half.
And he just recently went out. It's only been like, a week and a half, 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
He went out. But I did get a report.
He moved most of the cattle out.
He moved most of all of them out.
He left the calves behind.
Yeah, but he was in the process that week after, so it's time for him to pay up the rest so we get it to budget before the end of the year.
That would be good.
And the grazing fees are paid?
No, they're not paid as of right now.
Okay, something.
Well, the grazing fees are paid to the BLM.
Well, that's what I thought.
He hasn't paid us the second half. He still owes us several thousand dollars. Okay, so I'll defer to water resource and management. Linda, I don't know why we're.
Why we're.
Well, I don't know. The water resource management, we got Doug Hunt grazing lease.
Well, that's what we just discussed. These are items that were sent to me that they wanted on. I just put them under the area that we would be talking about.
Well, yeah, that would be under agriculture and wildlife, with all the fencing and grazing and all that stuff.
These are things that Dale wanted to discuss.
Okay. So, let's go into that then. Let's jump into the water resources.
Right, yeah, we already did, and I've talked with Dale. I mean, the critical thing with Doug, we've got to have a face-to-face conversation when he's here in town. So if you see him, like you did last time, you know, and you and I mean, I talked to him about that. I encouraged him to go down and visit Dale, and he was going to try to and didn't, but we'll try to get together with Doug and discuss this.
My only concern about doing that is that we've made a contract, we've made an agreement, and if we keep revisiting the same thing with him, he's going to get frustrated with, okay, are we doing this? Like you said.
If we don't ask him,
I know, but he's letting other grazing leases expire or other grazing agreements expire so that he can bring his cows out to the ranch, and he intends to increase his herd. Like you mentioned.
It's not like this hasn't been discussed.
It has been discussed.
Yeah, he had a 5-year lease. A year into it, we rewrote it, and that's when he said, I'll double my fee as long as you give me exclusive rights.
Okay.
We just did that.
Okay.
We did that to solve this problem.
Okay.
And so I know, you know, there's been changeover on the board, but it has been discussed. But at the same time, that's my opinion. I'm not saying that my way's the right way. So I'm happy to bring it up and let him speak for himself. Linda was there, and Doug voiced his opinion that, whoa, hey, that's not what we agreed on.
My only thing is, if we brought up, say, hey, you know, there's a whole bunch of the ranch you're not using. If someone is coming in here and help us get this extra fencing done so we can keep, you know, X away from Y, you know, would you be opposed to it?
Me approaching Doug, here's what I'd say. If you can have 300 cows out there, say, Doug, if you bring 300 cows out here, you can have a whole ranch. But if you only bring 250, can we bring 150 out? Can we maximize the use of the ranch? And I don't think
he may like to say this.
As long as we keep them all separated, I don't think he would say no.
And
some extra fencing done on the property.
But I think if you gave him an option to put 300 cows out there, if we can have, and he put them all 300 out there, but if you only put 150 out there, and you'd allow us to put the other 150, I mean, that's how I'd approach it. And you know, fencing, make sure everything can be separated.
I don't think he does well.
Yeah, the other leases that he's using, he's finishing up now, and then he's going to be bringing those other cows out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can a ranch hold 400 cows, and if it can, no. If you only bring 300 out, well, I mean, what's the maximum number we can have? 200? And if you only bring 117, can we bring the other 80 out?
No. Would
he bring more out? Would he bring another 100 out?
He can.
If these areas were available,
he is going to. That's where he said, I need a place for 150 head. I'm going to bring out 50 this year. Next year I'll bring out 100. The next year I'll bring out 150. But so that I guarantee I have a place to go, I'll pay you 150 today,
right,
even though I'm bringing 50. And so that's why I said, take the price he's paying, divide it out by the 6 months he's there, divide it like that. I just released my personal BLM grazing north of town. And I fought with people for $10 to $12 an AUM. Doug's already paying Deer Springs $18. I can't find anywhere in the county that anybody's getting paid $18. That's totally based on Doug's generosity and the key location of it's between his winter range in the Perea,
okay,
and Trevor Leach's ranch, and so it's an easy part of his rotation.
Okay.
And his desire to know that it's there when he's ready to
leave. So you guys have asked him, he said no.
So he has a max.
Okay, we're moving on. Yeah. It's done.
Yeah,
it was brought up. Let's move on.
Yeah, we talked.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Thank you.
We're fine. I just wanted to ask. I'm just looking for money. That's all. Trying to look for the best interest of everything.
Why don't we sell one of
The next item there is Dale's with the water management.
Item two.
Mark Lamb.
Well, the work we've been doing up there, plowing in pipes, has been on our private land. I don't know if any work has been done on the water systems for the ranch. The head gate on Red Reservoir is still underwater.
Sure.
And Chris was going to do some work to stabilize the Half Moon Reservoir head gate. Evidently somebody has stolen the culvert along the county road at the silt pond. And some of the other culverts that were out in the well field are gone. Nobody seems to know there's a whole trailer load of culverts that Paul brought out of Arizona. And they're all gone, pretty much.
Brent, do you know any of where the Arizona culvert, load of culverts
went? Some of those culverts.
I mean, I know we installed some.
How many of you guys took two?
Two of those
poly culverts from that pile of culverts out at the POTUS, right?
Last year.
Right. They brought another one up, excuse me. Paul brought one up to put along on the Broad Hollow Road, right there where you transition from the BLM into Deer Springs. That sat there. I was going to get up there and put it in. That culvert came up missing. Just like your good galvanite culvert along the Scootin' Paw came up missing. So I don't know where, and I have no idea where that one went. I've asked everybody where that culvert ended up going, because I don't know where it is. And as far as these the other ones, I think Alan, we'll have to ask Alan. Alan put a couple in for us with Paul along, I think, Meadow Canyon.
He did.
And, yeah, I mean, well, yeah, you probably got the bill on that. But some of the other ones, I don't know. I think one went in right at the entrance of the headquarters, too. Oh, yeah, we replaced that one that's going into the headquarters, the one that filled up. That was replaced. I don't know where else.
But there must have been, 15 culverts in that trailer load that came in?
There was at least that many. Yeah, there was at least that many culverts. Were they 1 foot?
10 inches or
yeah.
2 foot? What? How big were they?
Both. They're 12, 18, and 2 foot. I mean, there's a lot of one inside of another. There was a lot of 12 inch that were smaller ones.
Yeah, they were all, Vance got them. Vance got them from a job site down there. The guy, they were just going to toss them. And so he collected them and put them over in his shop, and then Ken Lynn and Paul went down and got them. And they came back with a load of culverts.
Yeah. I have photographs of us where you can count how many culverts and what size they are.
Good, because, you know, that's four. Yeah, accountable.
I'm sure that we used six or eight, but we didn't use half of them.
Did we use two at the entrance to the headquarters?
Sure.
Did they have to buy in then?
Maybe.
And maybe two at Middle Canyon?
Yeah, some of them.
They got across those roads.
They had the meeting, though, just for the recording, we're passing out goodies here, so thank you, Pastor, for being in the market.
Well,
and Mark,
those brownies are Mark.
Yeah.
Is Clark going to plan on, did he pull his dozer out of there?
The dozer's still there.
Are we going to plan on, before he moves out of there, to rip that water line going into the upper pond, upper cabin?
There's no additional pipe. I got this 5,500 feet out of Idaho. Somebody want to make arrangements for some more. He's moved his plowing equipment out, but the cat's still there. He'll be using it for probably another week. But if there's no budget, there's no way of doing some of those things.
Well, but we did budget for that portion last meeting. That's what I thought we did. And you made a motion, and we seconded it. You seconded it. And so did we just change plans, or?
No budget that I'm aware of.
Well,
is
that in the minutes?
It's got to be in the minutes. It's in the minutes.
We have it. We have the budget.
Yeah.
Are you coming down more?
This is what Jody said. At the bottom of the page, Shauna made a motion, seconded by Dale, voted unanimously. Crystal stabilized the head gate at Half Moon Reservoir. Had the gate at Red Reservoir still underwater.
The Jeff mentioned Bellcat Walk, but we didn't say how much money, but in the budget it did.
Well,
that's the budget secret here.
That's where, while he was there, we were going to try to push that fence line there below the cabin. So he was there in Metal Canyon.
Is that coming out of the fence, or were you putting it out here?
He did the diversion. That's an expense to PSR away. But I'm still getting letters to say don't spend any money.
This is an issue we've got to fight through, and I don't want to make it ugly, but if you're the general manager at Deer Springs, then we need stuff that we talk about in board meetings either done or not done.
I don't think that I'm the general manager.
Okay. If you're resigning as general manager, then we can figure out something else. We've doubted you're the general manager, and that's been discussed every meeting since July.
It's what?
That you're the general manager, and these were assignments that the board gave.
No.
This was your idea.
The board has not wanted me to do the general manager.
No, that's not true.
We
all have. Well, you get hung up because one person on the board,
$1,000 less. We budgeted $5,000 for next year. This next year. But we still had the money left from this year.
Yeah, we still had the balance of the $10,000. We've been protected. We've talked.
So we last had $2,000.
We talked about it in November.
Right.
We talked about October with a phone conference that we reconfirmed that money would be saved
right, and put into that temple.
And saved to finish this. So
there was two. So there's still. I thought we had agreed to have Taylor finish that up.
And we did.
Now,
he needed the bulldozer to push the fence line.
And that's
what
that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went over that in November a month ago.
And everybody was clear what
it was. So have you?
Well, that was the thing that, Dale thinks that it should go one place, and I think it should go another. That's where we read it in July. And then I said, I don't care. Put it. put it in one or the other, it really doesn't matter. If wherever he pushes the fence line, that's where Caleb will build the fence. Some trees need to be removed, and some of the hillside needs to be sloped off so we can build a fence.
But that's what I remember. There wasn't a very clear... nobody knew where the fence needed to go.
Well, I thought we...
I don't know if that's
that.
Dale knows where he thinks it should go.
And he was going to get that done with Clark, and I think he did, didn't he? The fence is done, right?
No.
No, this
no, Clark hasn't been over in that area at all.
I was under the impression it was all done.
What?
Okay, so that's what we had talked about on the last meeting, that we would go, that we had been working on the fence along 161 and the fence and the fire escape road. And
just, yeah, this was the fence along the fire escape road.
Now, if
we were going to push that, right? And yeah, we're going to push that while the dozer was right there.
Those are two different ones.
They are.
One by lot 161 by the Red Reservoir.
It's at the north end of the Meadows.
One down by the cabin.
Right.
The one that nobody wants to where they
okay, so lot 161.
But he was going to push it while he was right there, is what I remember. Oh, and then we were going to get Taylor to fence it.
He hasn't been there. Okay. In that area.
When do you plan on...
Okay, but that wasn't the plan.
Okay, so now he's going to finish the one cabin.
He has not had the equipment in that area.
I understand that now.
And he's been working other areas.
That's not what the plan reported and pitched a month ago in the November meeting.
Oh, I'm still not at all clear where you want the fence going up by the cabin one. How high, where, what's it going to cost, what do you want to do? I'm getting more hesitant not doing anything.
Well, no, you're getting hesitant if you don't want to do anything if it's not your idea. And no, then
that was my idea to put the fence there to begin with.
So push the line. You were left with the authority to make a decision and put that in. That's where I got mad last meeting. And I'm sick and tired of coming to meetings and getting mad. But here we are a month later, and then nothing was done. So what you pitched and proposed that you were going to help to rip in the water line to the upper water system that critically needs to happen, somehow just got blown off.
And then I got another letter. Don't you spend a dime without my approval.
I don't care what somebody sent a letter. Anybody out here can send you a letter. That doesn't override what the board decides. We all have to be big enough people.
Who sent that letter?
It doesn't matter. We all have to be big enough to either govern or get out. And, yeah, I'm not trying to be overly critical because I hate it, too, and sometimes I get nasty letters. But that is somebody who sends somebody a letter does not give them the honorable release of doing what they've committed to do, in my opinion.
Well, the cat's not finished up there.
No, the cat was...
So he'll be done.
It was Dale's idea that he would have him do this.
Well, and he's not finished.
Okay,
so he's been working every day he can.
But it's still in the budget. We still have $5,000 to work on the fence.
He thinks you're being assured of that.
We're talking about fences or pipelines?
Both.
I thought we were talking about the fence. Well, we have pipeline too, because you have water. You have money to add for the water.
Okay, there's pipeline expense, there's fence expense, and there's road expense.
Right.
And
somebody hasn't done a lot out of her own pocket, but the rents needed it done. And no more.
Pushing the fence line and ripping the water line into the upper cabins were things that were budgeted and covered from the budget.
That was discussed last meeting, yeah.
Okay, but we don't have any money to do it till the first of the year, till our money's
spent. What's in next year's budget?
Yeah, next year's budget. So if we can do it, but they won't get paid on it.
Well, so you're saying you don't plan on doing it. So we got to make a different plan here regardless.
I'm doing what?
Ripping the water line into the upper cabin.
Well, he's still there. As long as he knows how to rip it in.
Oh.
There's a problem.
There's no... Yeah, I guess you could.
I left the last week. Nobody knew where they wanted to put anything.
Pipe is not available. A lot of other details are not in place. And I've been criticized for doing things without a lot of these details being taken care of. So
who needs to purchase the water line?
It was supposed to be ordered when we got the water.
Yeah, I thought we got the pump. We don't have it.
Do we have a dollar figure on that?
Who ordered the water?
We had a per foot price. I could have swore we did. That there was a per foot price you gave us down on that last meeting.
It cost 57 cents a foot.
I was thinking 50, but yeah, something.
How much was
50,
it?
50, 50 came to my mind.
How about the other $500? $1,000 that it took to. You know, it didn't matter, just you know, the price of the pipe.
What did you order? No,
they ordered it. Okay, we've got to solve this issue or we're wasting time in the meeting. So we got to decide. Do you want to share who wrote the letter and what that problem is so that you can be effective and work? Or are you saying that you are resigning as general manager and you're not going to do it anyway and we got to decide a different direction to go?
I would like this meeting to talk about positive things, negative things.
And you pitched an idea. You presented an idea. We approved it last month, and nothing's happened. And so you need to report and make us understand why that happened.
We, in September, August, said, let's finish the Meadow Canyon Road up to the Iron Gate and look at all the correspondence that's been thrown around since then and refused to pay it. And that I'm going out ahead of board approval.
The board approved $5,000 to go as far as we could.
They did not approve a specific amount of money. That was the worst road on the ranch.
And at the beginning of last month's meeting, Jody pitched the thing, says we have X amount of money. If we put this here, and this here, that we, Dale gave us the number for the road. And Jody said, well, you're not going to get all that, but you have some money here. And she was going to pitch in on that one, that it was going to go in there. And I'd like to know that Jody had that number at.
That's my question.
Yeah.
It shows in Linda's thing that $12,000 was spent on roads, or to be spent by the end of the year. Is some of that still not spent, or has it all been spent?
Right now, with the tires and things that we've got $1,000 in the bank. Am I writing a check for $2,000?
No, that's not the question. What did we budget in 2012 for roads and how much we spent so far on roads?
She already
reported last month that we had overspent our budget. As of November, our budget was already overspent.
Right.
Back in August, the vote was, and I wasn't at the meeting, I've only read the minutes, there was approved that yes, the next high priority is Meadow Canyon Road. We will approve $5,000 to go and shape it up, to gravel it as far as we can, and then Larry and Chris worked with the ranch grader to shape it up beforehand. And that was done between August, and they were working on it right at September when we had the annual meeting. They were hauling loads of gravel right.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
The road budget was already overspent last month by thousands of dollars. We have not committed any of it. We had some ideas. We budgeted for next year, you know, buy a tractor instead of spend on repair. I mean, we talked about things. We haven't, and I don't think it's appropriate for us to every November spend all of next year's budget before the end of this year. We have not, as far as the board has not voted or committed any funds for next year. We had $10,000 in this year, and as of November, we had already overspent that. $5,000 of that $10,000 we had budgeted, we had already spent $12,000 to $14,000, was approved in August to gravel Meadow Canyon Road.
Okay, well, this said there's $12,000 to be spent between now and or for the year 2012. I understood that some of that was in there to cover part of the steep bill. That's why I said, well, I said I would cover the balance.
Yes. Okay, but which letter are you referring to? The November 1st through the 9th profit and loss actual budget has road improvement, contract service, $10,000 budget. We had spent $12,655. We were $2,655 over budget last month's meeting.
And now we're $14,000. So we're $4,000.
We're $14,000 because of buying grader tires for $1,000.
Right.
Or maybe that's not even in there.
No, that wouldn't be
on there.
That's on roll. I'm getting high on the
Roach, you have that for next year for presidency.
Oh, that's we're way over because it's
well,
5,000.
Some of the shifted. This is the exact same figure.
3,000 to seed in January. Larry Clarkson, about 1,000 in June. Larry Clarkson, 2,000 in September. Mallon seed, 5,000 in September. And then Larry again in October for 3,000.
Where that 14,000 adds up to. Actually, we're at, and then including the contract. Actually, the culvert and the science match, it can be. Oh, yeah. So 5,000 for 54 for all of us. Right. And she threw in the, like, thousand. So maybe our budget of 10,000 isn't up on the road. Okay, so when are you going to pay it up? I mean, she brought that item up. She put money into different things, said, well, if we do this and this, well, I'm going to pay this and this. So she said, I wish to hell she was here.
Yeah, well, I don't know. She was trying to juggle things to cover.
Mark, my guess is that to do the water main water line, you know, from the bottom to the top, is something like $6,000 or $7,000 expense, maybe $10,000 expense. And when you once you break that old line, there's no, you know, there's no stopping. We
right.
cannot open those cabins unless that system is in and hooked up on both ends and done correctly. And we aren't at that point.
Did we break the old line?
Well, no.
We will, if we do, it goes up the old road.
It's going to.
It'll destroy that line from bottom to top.
Okay. So do we have the money to fix it before we ask?
What?
Yeah. So we don't have the money at this time to replace that, so we can't do it.
That was one thing discussed, that is a next year repair. But once the cabins were closed down this year to rip in the line, and then before they were open next spring to hook them in the top and the bottom and flush the line.
I would also say that we ripped in, and I'm not overly happy with, you know, we were experimenting, we were doing what we're supposed to do. But I think if it were me making the decision, I would not rip in the line down through there. Because I think that we're still in for the problems. So I think at the right time to trench it and probably use a larger line than the inch and a half that we plowed in. So I think there's several things that I would recommend that be done before we waste $5,000 or $10,000. And then say, gee, we don't have any water. It's not hooked up on either end, or et cetera, et cetera.
So your suggestion is to use an inch and a half line or just cover up the old line right now?
No. That's what I have been plowing in is an inch and a half line. Mm. I don't like the results of what we've got in some areas. It can be used. I was thinking of plowing in that inch and a half line all down through the meadow. But as we thought about it, worked on it, it just can't recommend it. And so even the one up there at the cabin, it would deliver enough water. But I think it needs to be done in a different way. And it needs to be complete once that old line is crushed all the way down under a bulldozer. It's not a matter of whether we have money.
Well, we talked about avoiding damage and that thing. If we can, so we can use that for running conduit, too, for later purposes. We brought up in the meeting.
No.
The way you remember it, too?
Yeah.
What other decisions on that needs to be
made? There's some good by leaving that other line there.
How are you going to dig it out if you don't use the dump? That's another way to put it in, dig it in.
Trench it.
So we don't want to use.
And I think, again, the challenge of the board is not to say, what else can we cut out of the budget? I still maintain we've got to find a way to come up with $100,000 to do the things that's needed at Deer Springs. And
I like Vance's idea about one-time assessment fees. I'll bring up $25 to bring up some money to do the all of our legals for the bylaws and CCR. Rules of CCRs. I really like that idea, and it's a one-time shot. Pay the extra $25, and that would right there would generate $7,500 for towards our costs on the legals, which we're running on a tight budget of couple thousand over right now for next year. Is that the way you guys remember?
Yeah.
We have that, but that puts about $5,000 over.
There's 11 other ways of increasing our budget.
Well, I think that's
whatever the board decides to.
I think that's one way.
Positive and move in that direction.
I have a question. We have 4 lots. Dale's been really successful at selling lots this year. Why don't we sell one of those lots? That would bring in quite a lot of money.
It's like selling a piece of a lot. You can't keep selling off pieces.
But we've got 4, and some of those were from foreclosures in the past.
Not true.
Not true?
Those 4 were originally part of the 2000.
Yeah, I think all the extra lots DSRA has obtained through foreclosure, we've now already sold off and spent the money.
Oh, okay. I thought there was one left from foreclosure. I beg your pardon.
Well, what if we is to, let's do this. I propose we get Chris to make a study for... Making a motion for Chris to make a study to see, we've talked about RV lots. If we have some RV lots, we can park some things on there for either for camp hosts or to rent out. And also a motion to just at least look at some numbers for some those 10 lots that we talked about or whatever on the east side of the Wellsville. So we can just look at some numbers if you want to talk about generating income.
How many?
To cover that. But we just need to look at numbers. I'm not making a motion to do anything. I'd rather than at least get some numbers on the table.
You mean to improve the
How many RV pads? How many RV pads?
4. I think 4 or 5 RV pads out there. We looked at some areas before in the past.
Just say 4.
Okay. We don't need to have full septic in now, but we can have a place to at least park something for now. Develop them, see if we can market them out.
We have to be careful about our... our tax designation is nonprofit. If we start doing a commercial product, a commercial venture.
It's not the same as the cabins, though. It's not really commercial.
Yeah.
No, the cabins are an assessment fed deal. When we rent a cabin like that in an emergency or something like that, you don't actively go out and market those cabins for rent.
We don't market the RV.
Well, we talked last meeting also about doing that.
About marketing the cabins. We've talked about that almost a year now.
Yes, we have. What I'm just saying is that we need to be careful that we don't jeopardize our nonprofit status.
Are we doing it for profit or are we doing it to cover our costs?
Yeah, as long as we spend the money at the end of the year and we're not carrying over.
I think we have no problem spending the money.
we
got so many projects we've got on the table, I don't see any problem spending no money on it. But, I mean, I'd like to make the motion to look at those things and have Chris during this winter time here, where we're, you know, see if he can maybe come up with some numbers the next month or two to what would it take? I mean, that's my motion.
Well, we'll have to make sure we have the motion.
What the expense would be, you mean?
Yeah, to at least look at expense and see what we could make on if we put it in there, and what would our return on the investment be? And have a look at that. As far as Dale's, how his or anybody else from Ben's area has been selling all these properties, look at a report of how the economy is going. I mean, here's the thing I'm kind of concerned about, since the guy in the White House got reelected here, no properties in Vegas have been sold since election day, because they just took away all the tax credits, so... There again, too, who's going to be buying from him? And of course, have you seen a thing lately on property being sold, Sam?
We're moving a little bit here, but I know a lot of the big markets like Vegas are not recovering.
They've literally stopped in subdivisions that were moving before the election. So,
Mark, I think one of the questions that, again, keeps concerning within the board is I'm not sure the board members or some members are in favor of selling any lot. And until that is understood and accepted and is a practical way of moving, then it's a waste of time to study and put together a budget if, regardless of what it is, the answer is no. And I'm convinced that in some people's minds, the answer is absolutely no, regardless of what it does for the corporation or what it does for the members.
We can ask that question to the people who are here. How's that? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, what do you guys think? Those days? Are you?
On the 10th, can you park those?
Are you opposed to seeing some additional lots in the area?
Can they park parcels along the
Wellfield? You know where we're talking about on the west, east side of the Wellfield on that ridge?
I'm not in favor of splitting lots.
Stop splitting. We have some association property.
Yeah.
Taking 10 to 12 10-acre parcels, making new possibilities, new members. Are you opposed to that? We are actually selling quite a few of them lately.
Great. I'm not.
Well, or even the four. Brent mentioned in his letter the four lots that DSROA owns. Why create new lots if you've got lots already that could be sold? But if the answer is don't sell anything, then we don't even look at those four lots.
Right.
Well, which four lots do we own?
We own lot one.
We own 74, 75, and 191.
And here's my take on this thing. You guys want to take, if I'm not mistaken, the most archaeologically rich piece of property at Deer Springs Ranch, where you cannot walk that ridgeline without finding an arrowhead. If you don't, I mean, you have a hard time not finding an arrowhead just by watching doing that. My thing is this. If you guys want to sell those four lots off, I say sell three of them. The lot one, what I would do with lot one is I would dangle it in front of Chris and say, Chris, you agree to stay 10 years, lot one will be yours. Okay? That's what I would do. We take that money, we put it back into the corporation. But I see, in a depressed real estate market, I look around this room, I probably have less money than anybody else in this room. But I do, and I never... Am I budgeting principles? Everything's done in my head. I never balance my checkbooks. I just know how much money's there. And as long as I'm within a couple $100, I'm fine. I look at this budgeting stuff you guys do, and I sit here and I go, I don't spend more than I take in. Okay? I'm real careful about it. My point to you in my letter, Dale, was simply, I don't want you spending money that you're not going to recover. Okay? I don't want you doing that. I don't think it's fair to you, and it's definitely not fair to us if we try to pay you for work that we didn't authorize. Okay? Now, it's not my point to authorize it. It's just when you come to the board and you present them with a bill for work that you've done that wasn't pre-authorized, I have to go, boy, can I do that? Can I go out and do some work for the ranch and then come in and offer and put a bill? Ken Lenton and I went over and fixed a culvert over in the Slide Canyon that was washing out. Ken sent Linda, I think, a $100 bill, or a bill for $100. We never got paid.
What?
That's the same when I've put in $200,000 up there the last few years and haven't got paid for any of them. I submitted one bill, Clark Lamb, $14,000, is the only bill that I was responsible for or could. You know, when those reservoirs were all redone. The rest of it has never been built. You've not been built for the work in Slide Canyon. You're not being built for the even Meadow Canyon. I'll take care of that. I understood that the board wanted Meadow Canyon graveled being the main road, and you asked me to take care of it. We did. And if I need to pay the other half of it, I will. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I don't want you to think you're paying any of my bills. Most of them I've never submitted, and I don't intend to submit. I'm not an 800-pound gorilla.
Well, here's my whole take on this thing. Why do we want to go out, split up association ground, in a depressed real estate market? We don't know how long it's going to take to sell.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm cutting you off. Because I'm not going to sit here and talk about things we've talked about for 10 years. People say, well, we've been talking about this for a year. We've been talking about this for 10 years before Ryan's bought a Deer Springs. I mean, that's a great thing. Yeah, Dale is correct. Whether it's my opinion or not, I think it's an easily documentable fact. The ownership and the 300 members who own up there now, this has been brought up multiple times, whether it's selling off the four plots that are there or selling off more of the association ground, is not something that the majority are in favor of right now. And so...
So it's a moot point.
Well, let's say everybody here said, absolutely, let's do it. Are we going to have any lots that are going to be able to be marketed in 2013?
No.
No. So we've got to balance our budget, try to finish the 2012 year where we're over budget, finish the project that we already don't agree on and have somehow got halfway through with disagreement, and focus where we're at. And then in the future, if some of these great ideas that we've kicked around for 30 years decide and it's the time, the window's right, and the majority then agree on it, then we'll move forward then. It's not a deal right now, so I want to narrow down to the decisions that we can agree on today, and dividing off lots is not one of them.
I'll take lot one.
Ben, my work here is done.
Bob?
Please.
Sorry.
This is not going to be very...
I have a message for you from Bob. Sorry, that's right.
Not going to be very popular with 30 million members. I agree with somebody that said a while ago, why don't we assess a one-time assessment for every member and just say we made a mistake. Just admit it in our budget. And then next year, the assessment will be lowered to what it is now. I mean, I don't think anybody's complaining about
25. It's not a mistake. The problem we got there on that, Lee, is we got the CC&Rs and the rules, regulations, and guidelines that are 30 years old.
Okay.
We need to pay for that, and that's where we're trying. We budgeted
$10,000 for that. We can finish this year, pay our budget. Jody has been protecting and hoarding and trying to keep this $5,000 carryover, which was a great idea. I'm not against it, but I still said, hey, if we had $5,000 to carry over the last 20 years, then that just means $5,000 or more work that we desperately needed. We are so in need of work. I'd rather see work done at today's dollars than put it in the bank and then pay 3 years from now. Probably it's only going to triple in cost in the next 3 years. So let's use the stuff. We can finish this year and complete all of the commitments that we've made this year. We lowered the assessment next year. We have a budget that will work for next year. The only idea was the one-time assessment to cover the legal fees for rewriting the CC&Rs. That's still not the issue. We can write the CC&Rs and get an attorney that will put together great CC&Rs for a very reasonable amount of money that we can afford within our budget. That's not the issue. That's why the board under Larry Walters already spent $9,000 and we have nothing to show for it. Because it's not the attorney that's going to magically get all of our heads together. We need to have a committee or a group or a meeting dedicated only to hash through those issues and see if we can come to agree on the five bones to pick that are the troubled issues.
No attorney is
going to tell us.
We already did that. Jody said she was going to work on it. I said I'd help her.
I know. That's where I'm... But those are still the things why... That's why the bylaws aren't changed. It's not attorneys and it's not legal fees. It's people coming together and making some compromises or whatever to get something that we can agree on. Then you sell an attorney. Take 4 hours and write this up and send us a $1,000 bill and it's done. But that's what needs to happen. We don't need any attorney until those players that are involved that have a strong opinion can come to agreement on all those things. Because if not, we're still in a stalemate. It's not a 50% vote. It's not a majority. It has to pass by two-thirds. It's something, it's whatever's prepared like that before, Dale's not happy with, he's not going to vote for it. You cannot pass it without his vote. And he does not have enough votes to pass it without support of the rest of the members. And it will be a stalemate.
They came together.
We
got it all
the way
down.
Well, I know that there's just a couple. Well, Dale, I'm sure if we get out, there's just a couple of issues that there's two opinions on. We've got to fight through that with us. It has nothing to do with legal fees.
Right. That's
cool.
We
make a motion
to sell the 402. But you're not wasting penny on attorneys.
Right, I'm asking.
Okay, so.
And I think that.
All over the place. You're all over the board. I don't even know what notes to write out.
That motion is now dropped because that's a dead motion now.
Well, okay.
I do then on that same fact.
What about the RV pass?
I would like to see the RV pass.
Let's explore that. I think the RV pass.
That's an action item.
Yep. Go ahead, get us the numbers on that, Chris. Okay. We were just talking there about the additional funds right now, though. I would like to see a. I'd like to make a motion that we do put $25 extra into the for next year. Whether we use it for attorney fees or not, or whether
we
use
it in for next year for legal fees. We have an amount in there.
Ken.
I should get it done.
I know, but we could use, we're still short. We're short on the rest of our budget anyways. So whether we use it in attorney fees or we do a one-time assessment change-up, that we're short on our budget. We can use the extra funds right now.
Well, let's not do that.
Once you start doing that,
then people think you're going to put it all the time. But it's kind of like Lee said, okay, we're going to be short on our budget, and these are the items, this is what it is. And if you want to call it that for legal fees or whatever that would make people move, it's going to be, you're going to be really touchy because if you do it once, you open the gate. And now everybody, every time something comes up, they're going to say, okay, oh, we're going to get hit with another assessment.
Well, membership fees were up, and on top of that, we're going to do an additional.
Right, and see that. We dropped them $1.50.
We dropped them. Hey, I lowered the fees last month. Like, I got
right. Lowered it by $2. Come on, they made me one up.
Rounded it down. Okay.
First time home fees have ever been lowered at DSROA.
He's rounded it out.
Good. I'm in favor of that.
I have an issue if you're going to start hitting them with these things. If you start.
Okay. No special assessment.
What about
we can afford it.
Why don't we put out in the newsletter that anybody who could help pay for the pavilion or anything like that, please donate to
about
the session.
We tried that also.
Right. Nobody's going to do it for legal reasons. You have to force that issue, and we don't want to force that issue.
All right, let's move on.
Let's do it.
Mr. Chairman, I would propose that we have an executive meeting to talk only about generating
income.
New money for the ranch.
Can I jump in here real quick?
I mean, we're not through with that, but there are 11 different items that the board could consider as far as increasing the budget without increasing the assessment.
Mark. Yeah, I'm all in favor of meeting with that.
Mark.
Yes.
This is what Dale's talking about. That is not executive meeting material. That concerns all of us. Don't go there.
You're saying the executive committee cannot talk about ranch business.
That's not ranch business. That's member business. You're talking about something that's going to affect us all, Dale.
Fine. When it's presented, the members and the members
can
talk about it.
We can talk about it. Then we can present it for have the membership make a vote or a motion on it.
But if you would include the people, you will wind up with things that won't be so immediately shot down.
How do you know?
Well, we need to have ideas first, and then
we can put the ideas together.
Well, then let's figure out a way to quit spending so much time at the meetings on this, and let's do a little bit more work in between when possible.
Some of us have.
where he just talked about getting a different meeting put together.
Didn't you have a meeting at your house where you
board members shot it down. They didn't want to.
We were threatened to have about having a meeting, then they would their meeting wouldn't be voidable.
But me and Mark had that meeting, and we came up with ideas, and we presented them to the board, and you guys vote on them.
I agree.
Board members would like to stay out the meeting or a work meeting. Don't call the executive meeting then.
Well.
But it's only for board members.
Okay. Are you done? Because Ryan, aren't you on rules, regulation?
Mm.
Who is that?
That's Jody.
That's Jody.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
I
just wonder if we can have next month's meeting at 10 a.m. and the committee that wants to work on the legal issue meet at 8 a.m. and discuss through what are the two or three or four, what are the key issues that were a problem of why the CCNRs have not been approved, because whether it's wait till September or even having a special meeting this spring, before we get more legal trouble, if we can agree on those three or four things, then we, like I said, that's all we need to say. Here's a couple of key things, and we support this. Let's get it agreed so we can have it written up and presented to the membership and try to have it voted and passed to solve our legal issue.
I will contact Jody about that.
Okay, so look at that, Linda, as far as...
I'm concerned. I do want to be involved in the bylaws and those things, and I think I know for 40 years what more members want than anybody else. Jody has approached this from an adversarial position. That's what happened. Phil Hall approached it from an adversarial position, spent $9,000, total waste, because they told the attorney negative things to put in it. So everybody should be cautioned.
Can you be at an 8 o'clock meeting next month?
I like that. It needs a lot more before any 8 o'clock meeting.
Okay, when do you want the meeting if you don't want it at 8 o'clock? I'm just setting a time to do the meeting. If you don't want to have it at 8 o'clock, then...
I think that's fine.
Okay, so next month at 8 o'clock.
January what day? I'll find out.
January 10th. January 12th at 8 o'clock. If we want to have one before then I mean, they're a different day, propose one. That's just the next time that I'm going to turn, that a lot of the people that are on the board and not on the board would at least be getting together and could discuss it. But don't talk about anything other than bylaws and rules and regulations.
I agree.
And if we spent 2 hours before the board meeting, we would at least be able to identify what are the issues and come up with, remind us of what the issue was, and what, where we're going to read what we have and what's the problems with them. And the legalese crap that the attorney needs to say, well, the law says it needs to say this now, none of us care what that is. There's a couple of the actual decisions that the membership and the board need to weigh out and make a judgment call.
I think the 8 o'clock meeting will be able to find out what these problems are, and we'll build a handle after that. So just 8 o'clock. Next
meeting. So those coming to the meeting do their footwork and background work and bring it.
Yeah, everybody needs to read the bylaws.
They need to prepare and
bring their point, and let's see how it turns out. We can go from there.
Can you guys do something like that for the budget?
The budget. Yeah,
we
the budget.
We're generating more stuff.
Down the road.
Going
down the road. Yeah. Okay, so we'll have a 10 o'clock will be our next meeting then after that.
Yeah.
So we'll do 8 to 10. We'll just knuckle down and just focus and get that thing going.
And then
I like the idea.
This needs to make it in the minutes so no one can say that this wasn't pre-announced or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, this is our 10-day legal notice.
Yeah.
Okay. Which we've not in here.
Huh?
We better make a motion.
It's been announced.
Yeah, I don't think we need to make a motion. We don't need to make a motion.
Okay,
we're calling a meeting.
Okay.
It's called. Yeah, that part of the meeting is called, so please put that on the
agenda, everything.
Minutes on the agenda. All right, let's move on. Let's get this thing rolling. What else then? So we're still going to...
8-5. 8, number 5, on the first page. There.
Number 5. On 8-5, Dale? Because obviously we've already talked about the roads and everything else right there. And we're going to need to have Jody answer some of those questions, Dale. Find out what money was there. I, like I said, I could have swore, but you know, we're moving on. We'll talk to Jody about that stuff later. On 8-5, Dale, you about the continuing on the bankruptcy for Burke Beasley?
Title company's preparing some papers, and they say by the end of January that should be closed, and their things will get their
$1,700.
$1,700.21.
$21.94.78. I asked Linda for a copy, and she gave me a... Yeah, the assessments for this year have now been added. That happened on the 1st of December. So it's $21.94.78.
So that's got next year's assessment.
Well, that
and they're not due till March.
Yeah, so if you get it by January, it's still the 17th.
Right.
Hold on, Dale. If it's by January, they'll still be the 17th because we are actually due some March for the next year.
However, we've spent a lot of legal fees on this Beasley deal.
Okay. But can't, or can't, that's right. You can't really have a number. You can't have a forwarded number.
Well,
that's 17, whatever.
To take it to 21 is not the legal fees, but it, over the year we've spent a lot of legal fees on the.
Well, yeah. I know, but what we're saying is
well,
you
all
can't.
All we're going to get is all we're going to get out.
That happens.
You can't
right,
you
can get whatever.
Yeah, that's our expense.
You can't add
our expense.
More. Other than, you were 17,
so what was the 17? Okay, so we should know fairly soon by next meeting. We should know a lot more.
What number, do you remember what number was she saying?
What was it, 17?
Number what? What was
17
what? The charge is here.
Take that minus your assessment for next year.
No.
The difference between his 17 and this 21 is the 2013 assessment.
Which would be 475.
Maybe some other fees. But that's why every month that you get a fee and they break it down in there, you got to add it to their account immediately. And anytime somebody
asks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Every month you post the account. Legal fees. So anytime that somebody says, hey, what do I owe to clear my account? You should give them an accurate figure that's at least got every bit of legal fees within the last 30 days.
Okay.
And so that we don't give a number to him and say, oh, but by the way, that doesn't include legal fees for the last 9 months.
And after you submitted it to court, I don't
want to
go back to them and say, well, excuse me.
Yeah, that's just going to prolong it out further.
$1,719.
Yeah.
Question, why is it taking 2 or 3 years to foreclose on the lot?
It's part of our bylaw problem, isn't it?
It's part of our bylaws.
Why is it costing so much money?
Did we take too long to start on it?
That's my question. After we let these things get 3 or 4 years behind, we'll never recover.
Yeah, we need to be more profitable. We need to change that when we do our.
We did. These two both declared bankruptcy that we are dealing with.
If they declared bankruptcy and said bankruptcy court, we have to work with their process.
Yeah.
Our process has been the same for 20 years. It's assessed January 1st.
So once it's bankrupt, we can't keep assessing the lot.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely,
no, they won't
you can.
Get paid.
You can and you should. We've only had one that didn't get paid. And if you want to go back and fight this, I'm happy to have this discussion all over again. All we do as a board is say, somebody pays it, or you don't get a vote, and you don't get any benefits.
Judge, ask, what are your assessments? And it's told to them.
Yeah.
Then you can't go back and say,
you're in a bankruptcy, somebody's going to wind up in that lot. It may take 10 years. And when they wind up with that lot and they say, hey, I want to stay in cabin, say, no, somebody's got to clear this bill. That's all we ever have to do. Like I said, I've been through this 1,000 times. Deal with it every single day. There is millions of HOA properties in the United States in foreclosure. Whether it's Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or whoever wound up in foreclosure, it's not their thing. But all the HOA says is, I don't give a crap who owns it. Until you clear our bill, you get no benefits from the association. Until you make us happy, I don't care if you get the seller, the guy filed bankruptcy, the investor who bought it out of bankruptcy, somebody's going to clear our account. And that's the stance that I think that the board's got to take. It's getting more and more complicated.
The bylaws don't say that now.
That's right. Let's find it out in court. Let's go to court, see who wins. I guarantee that we can make that argument. We have before. We have pressed thousands of dollars out of every other lot owner. And, yeah, they're a little vague right now. And they could be improved. Take it before a judge, and you, and I'm happy to stand there. I'll go testify as a board member for DSROA and say, Mr. Judge, you tell me why should we be the one that gets screwed and don't get our money because a deadbeat lot owner filed bankruptcy. Or somebody bought out of bankruptcy at, a smoking deal, and so as an investment, they get to profit off of it at our expense. We are deserve to be paid for the services that
we get. And we need to protect ourselves by getting our bylaws right.
Well, I agree. That's why I just set the date for a month from now, so that we don't keep having this over and over. The inconsistency, our process has always been, we build January 1st, it's late March 1st. Should we file foreclosure in April? Or we've always waited till the next year and give them a break. We have a lot of people delinquent in 2012 in this economy. I don't think that we should be foreclosing on any of them. They are our members. We deserve to protect them and give them some leeway. Now that if they are delinquent in 2013 and 12, then we put a lien on the property to at least make sure it doesn't get sold and that that's clear. And then that's when we start spending some legal fees on it. Is that the process that you're thinking should happen sooner?
My law say 12 months. Just Beasley's thing, that evidently is 3 years, 4 years, 4 years. Some of the others on the list have been, three or 4 years.
On that paper that I gave you when you asked for the amount, I wrote in there, hand wrote in there, that there were legal fees.
Legal fees, right.
And I will start putting it on their account. I've never done that.
What's that?
Anytime
that anybody asks, if it's on the delinquent sheet and anybody says how much they owe, you've got to give them the latest and greatest real-time figure, including interest, legal fees, everything.
Legal fees, I have never added. It's usually
whatever number we need to.
The lawyer is asking.
Yeah, exactly. But he's asking to go and negotiate a payoff.
Yeah.
We need to have that. A number that will make us whole.
Yeah, and he's got the fee, so I have never put on their bill, but I will. Should I make that a retroactive? Go back and do them for the last.
Absolutely
year?
Right. At the end of the year, you need to at least annually bring it current with everybody. By the end of this month, go back to every account and put the interest for 2013 and any legal fee billings that happened.
Okay. All right. So we've covered five. We're waiting to hear the results. We'll know next month, Dale, on that one. Anything else, Dale?
Is there part of our inconsistency? I don't know. Is Jody working on this also?
Which, the Beasley?
The Beasley deal?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's where I...
What's she doing?
She's been handling all the foreclosure and talking with
she's
the attorney.
Legal.
So when you sent your letter reported on Beasley, I didn't know if she had sent that to you or you were working on it or we're getting bills. We just got a bill for $1,000 or something from the title company for litigation.
It's 200.
200? Well, I mean, they're significant amounts of money, and I don't know when we're... One's talking to one attorney and another's talking to another entity. I'm not.
Can I make a statement? This is the one I'm going to meet. No.
All right. Anything else there, Dale, before we move?
Yeah, I want to answer my question.
It's Shauna's.
On the ranch activity.
Oh, no. So did he say someone that question answers?
Oh. About which one?
We need to know who's working on these.
Jody's working on them. Jody is working on it. She talks
with, she, at a minimum, she talked with
Kimball.
Yeah, Kimball Forbes. She's in communication with him.
And so have you talked with Kimball Forbes?
Kimball Forbes is at Clarkson.
Right.
Yeah. They're the ones that have our...
Because he's our attorney handling foreclosures.
Foreclosures, because, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean...
Ben just wants to know who is taking care of that.
I don't know. Should she not be?
She should be doing that. She's over the legal.
But you should, just said, why is she doing that?
Is there something that she can do?
They've already filed.
Is she working with Burke? I don't know who she's working with.
No, she's working with our attorney who's working with Burke.
I don't think our attorney's working with Burke. The property's in bankruptcy at the bankruptcy court.
Right.
And they called me to ask if I wanted to buy the lot.
Right.
I have nothing to do with Burke or with Kimball or with anybody else. And if Jody... If she wants to instruct the bankruptcy judge to do something,
no, she's working with our attorney. That's what you were. I thought you were just critical that we weren't following the legal process and filing foreclosure soon enough.
Over the last 4 or 5 years,
and it's only been a couple. It's only been a couple of them.
Well, I think there are others on the list that are several years old.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. This list is not even a third the length that it was when I came on the board 3 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. We had ones that were 10 years the length.
Are we going to try to get them closed out in 18 months, 2 years, 36 months, 48 months? That's my only concern. Is
if they file bankruptcy, we have to ride that through.
Yep. Well, yep. He's asking when do we start it. Our attorney is working on Burke Beasley every month. We get bills every month with him working on Burke Beasley.
And another one.
I would tell him don't waste his time.
What can he be doing once it's bankrupt? What can he do? Nothing. And why did they...
Why is he not enough a bill for the SROA? I mean, why are we paying him to do anything? Tell him to... Get lost. There's nothing else he can do.
Once it goes to paying Forbes to check with Burke Beasley. Unless you know something that's important to do.
I wouldn't be paying him a bill. Pay him a bill to the attorney. When with his bankruptcy, there's nothing else that he can do for us.
Well, that's not the legal process. Somebody has to communicate with the bankruptcy court on our behalf to try to get us money.
Well, Jody, they've committed, the bankruptcy court has committed to pay the outstanding assessment.
Only because our attorney has fought that through with the bankruptcy court.
Bankruptcy attorney, I don't think, has said nothing at all to me about anybody contacting
him. He knows, and we've filed motions and put our name in the ring with the bankruptcy court that we're one of the creditors that are demanding payment. If
we
hadn't done that.
Where are they sending the letter to? On a bankruptcy, they always send the letter to creditors. So where are they sending the letter to?
To
our attorney.
Yeah.
So we're running up a bill for that?
Yeah.
So by the time we get the money, it's going to go to the attorney.
I know.
Be added on top of it. Yeah. We get our assessment.
They won't keep adding to it, man. Once that bill is done, it's done.
You're right.
Once they send it to bankruptcy, that's all you get, a portion of whatever comes out of that.
That's what she's saying. So why do we keep spending money then? It should be done.
Why are we still paying an attorney?
Well, it shouldn't go to the attorney. The letter should come to Jody or the court, just stating what's happening so that there is no bill going to the attorney.
Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
Suggestion? Why don't you guys have a quick teleconference with Jody when she's available on this thing? There's just too much stuff we don't know to even decide what the heck to do right now.
I'm going to make a phone call with her anyways.
You know, I mean, I just sort of table it. It's way complicated, and we're missing some key answers to some key questions.
Well,
Okay. Everybody's writing stuff down.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to give Jody a call, and I don't know, we can probably talk about, we should maybe talk about maybe getting some kind of teleconference as the board with her to kind of find out what are some of these other issues we're missing her on today. You guys let me know what you guys game for that too, to join in on a conference call of that.
Yep.
So I'll get with Jody. Sean, I'll get with Jody and find out what schedules works with her, and I'll post something out on email and see if we can all come together with a time where we all get on a teleconference and hash out some of these things that we're kind of messing her on her presence today.
Okay.
Kind of important day for her to be here, and she's not, so.
Well, I wish she'll be mad.
Yeah, I can't believe she's not here.
Well, she was going to be here.
Yeah. Next item. Shauna?
Yeah.
Ranch activities?
I don't really have anything on the activities. We have no snow. There are no winter games. But
you
I do
will
have
snow.
Huh?
You will have snow. It's coming.
Okay. Well, then we're waiting for the sweat. I did have one issue I wanted to bring up, though. Somebody came on my property and cut down three great big giant trees right in the middle of the property. So they had to come through one of my gates that I have a cable oaring high across it. They went into the middle of the property and cut down my three biggest trees. Right? I was living. For firewood. Because they left all the limbs. So, I was a little bit ticked off. Does anybody see him be hauling off firewood?
You think that happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Nope, it happened in the last 2 months.
Hey, what lot number is she at?
Lot number 203. Okay. On the way to Brent.
Huh?
Oh, was she up there?
It's on the way to Brent.
Is Joey in now?
She was there. She was supposed to arrive last night.
But did you say, have you talked to her?
No. The last her husband talked to her was in Page yesterday.
So she was on her way.
She's on her way then.
She made it as far as Page.
Well, I came in at 6 this morning and I didn't see her. Beyond Chris and Larry, did you see your email?
Oh, you know, when you see her.
Right. She didn't call anybody. Well, I called Mark. I talked to her husband and told him I'd update him when I know something.
Linda?
Yes.
Yeah, she was on the Ranch Network last night, so she got there.
Okay, well, Mark's talking to his dad right now to go out and to her
okay.
lot.
All right, just throwing that out there. I'm sure she made it because her computer's logged in a couple times.
I'm really glad to hear that. That makes me feel somewhat better. Maybe she's got the flu or something, but she would probably get on the network and let us know.
I drove right by her place. I could have stopped in. There's nobody
there. Our office. Can you email me?
Yeah. I didn't even look. I mean, I just
can't. Chris, is the cell phone plugged in the office?
Yeah.
Yeah, just where you find there. That's
the phone.
Hey, Vance, is she logged on this morning?
No, she hasn't. As far as the logs go, I haven't seen her today. No.
That's on his way over right now.
Okay, thank you. Val sent that direction.
Yeah, not that direction.
So, did you take an impression of the time?
I took pictures, actually.
Good. Because you ought to report that to the sheriff. Seriously, yeah.
Okay.
I could go DNA the woods.
Well,
if they've got
cedar trees, big cedar trees
among big canyons. Big. They were big.
Meeting about putting metal on the next two, metal roof.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, the one that we did is, we went through this whole thing about metal versus
shade cloth.
Shade cloth, and so as far as I know, it's going to be shade cloth. Has that changed?
Well,
there was talk that there's always metal.
There was the metal. I mean, we could do it without having to take the shade cloth.
Okay, but we have to, okay, just so we know, from past, if there was a big issue about seeing the metal roof, yes, albeit galvanized, partially rusty, versus a black shade cloth. So, do we have approval for the
pavilion? On all
pavilions. Your framing is totally different for metal roofs than the shade cloth.
It'll be a little bit different. All we have to do is put a slope on it. It doesn't have to be a gable-type roof. It can slope to one side. So that was the question Chris and I had as we were putting up the first one. Do we slope or do we leave it flat for a shade cloth? So if we have approval for metal, great.
We found there was a whole bunch of extra metal in the well field,
right,
that we wouldn't cost us anything if we just utilized it. Yeah, I think it's urine stuff. And Dead Lefter, I don't know if you had something special planned for
pavilion.
That.
Does it have to be black?
There's a complaint about metal.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be black. That just happened to be the one that was on sale that they were purchased there.
I mean, I've got some black paint, just metal paint that might be sufficient. So if you want to use the metal and you try to get the paint, don't get it.
Well, for people that don't like the solid color, it could be camouflage.
There you go. Well, I'll donate black and you can.
Okay. there you go. Zebra stripe it black and white.
Okay,
then the next thing is old vehicles in the ranch area. That's been talked about. Has anything been done or what's
going on? Here's what's going on now. First of all, Chris is going to talk a little bit more later on about those trusses. The two vehicles that belongs to bring. I talked to Paul here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, look, I can haul one of them for you. And he had arranged for Brent Robinson to haul the other one. And then Brent got involved with doing this project in Johnson Canyon, the waterline thing. And
trees and sliding. That's where she
So he hadn't been out there with his fifth wheel to pick it up.
Anyway, if they don't get it moved by the end of the week, I can get it. I'll get it. I'll take it.
128.
It'll be gone. I'm sorry. 128.
And we're leaving the big international down there so we can follow those trusses.
Right where you go to, right where you can.
And then I think, Chris, I found the keys to Larry Sims truck. In that bucket of keys you get in, remember?
Still checking out.
I'm not sure though. I got it. Larry hasn't gotten back to me. I emailed him. He hasn't gotten back. So hopefully they'll be cleaned up by the end.
And then, sorry, Brent, we missed some of that because we have other things.
They'll be cleared up by the end of the week.
No, what I'm going to do is the ranch equipment is moving it away from the ranch house back by the.
What is it?
The ranch equipment that is staying there that we own, or you guys own. It's just being moved back by the generator. Just so when you guys out in the cattle, you look at it, it's a nice,
yeah. Including, there are a couple of little trailers out there, like
yes.
A pickup bed,
yeah.
And
yep,
then
yep,
that
yep,
old
yep.
All that snowmobile stuff. Trailer.
Yep.
And my thing would be, why do we keep it and keep moving it around if we're not going to use it? Let's get rid of it. Either for scrap or sell it, and not just move junk from one place then to another.
It should just give you a good idea what it is. I guess you could have one. Any...
Well, Chris,
I think there's a, every ranch I know that functions has a boneyard. Every time we can't go and turn around, I mean, there's some of that stuff, the trailer, maybe the tires are flat, we'll have a use for it, and we can never, you know, we go and sell it for $50, and next time we decide we need it, we go and buy it for $5,000.
Yeah, remember, we got MacGyver over here, we'll find
yeah.
a part piece
yeah,
out
no,
the
so, I mean, I agree, it should be stored in a visually... you know, unobtrusive area, but this whole idea to haul everything to the junkyard and then everything we need of scrap as well, it's $1,000 undertaking to drive to town and order a Page Steel and go to Page to get it and ride back to St. George.
Right. Let's put it up here by the
pump. Okay. Yeah. Be careful. Isn't there restrictions about how close to a pump or the well of water?
No.
Hey, okay, turn water. Down all the... Legal bull crap.
Water heater.
Okay.
We're meeting at Rod Johnson. What's happening there?
Did you get a reading on that water meter? Of course.
Okay, I see a fenced-in area. When I go there, right by the water tank, and some boards. No, I haven't made a water.
Would you write that? Just write that down.
Is the water meter up by where it goes to his house?
Yeah,
his driveway.
Yeah, the reason this got brought up because. Twice in 1 week, that 40,000 gallon tank was empty. I don't know what was going on. So I brought this up to Mark. And, so there's Rod Johnson.
Right.
Is there anybody else hooked up?
There's somebody else hooked up.
Ellerts is not for me or hooked up, but
anyway, I was just concerned where all this water
need,
is going.
We need a water meter reading, Chris.
Yeah, that's that. Okay, so you're going to do that, and here's something about that, going up the hill from the gravel pit, heading towards the runway, that water thing is leaking, dripping.
Yeah.
That's been draining.
That's the fire standpipe. I don't know why it's dripping. Have we overfilled the tank lately?
Not really.
Well, there should be no reason why that's dripping. I mean, other than if it's still, there still might be some water running out of there that... The last time the tank was overfilled.
27th when I came home, it was leaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went up and looked. The other day I went by and it was leaking. And so I went up to check it. And I looked in the tank. And the tank is essentially dry. You know. And so whatever's coming out of there is just residual.
Okay.
But why is it leaking? Is it the seal or...
There's quite a bit of water... The day that I drained that 4,000 gallon tank, it took a long time. Okay? Because it's all gravity feed. And this is just residual. I've got to rebuild that. I can go up there and take that apart and get it completely drained out and hopefully if we can do that. But I took the valve off the bottom of the tank simply because I didn't want somebody to go shut it off up there. So when we needed to use it, we had to go up and do it. When I put it back together, I just put it all back together. But it should stop completely as long as that tank's not overfilled.
Okay.
Other water tap?
What is that?
I think that's what we're talking about, the other water meter.
Well, no, water meter and then other, okay. All right.
Must be.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was either. I think you just pulled the program.
Okay, I have a couple of questions brought up under facilities, brought up getting a container. It's down here under the other item. Purchase 40 gallon or 40 foot containers to set up a laundry room behind the ranch house.
We don't need to purchase, we have one.
I think we determined that the containers we have enough room.
We're moving stuff
around.
We're
going to relocate some more stuff. We're
just putting
them
around.
Chris has done a lot of that. Okay. We got the one container to store things in, and now we're going to use it for a washroom.
Yeah, I think I'll just take that stuff that's in there because I can probably fit all of it in that 20 foot container with a solar system.
Okay.
There's doors, and maybe some of this stuff can be used for around.
Okay. My suggestion was going to be if we do get another container, put them far enough apart, we can use the prunes that we have.
Even without purchasing another 40 footer, me and Brent have been talking about doing that, putting that, actually trusses down here. Build a pony wall to bring the pine up where we could pull a grader and kind of build a shop.
Yeah.
Or
Between the 20 and the 40.
And then just slowly put walls on and slowly pour one pad and eventually have a nice shop to it.
Okay. And we also have the purlins. We have the metal panels that are.
And would all that stuff be available to do this roof? And
no. So we put enough of a pitch to it and have it, because otherwise they're sitting out there and people were bothered because of the color
we're using.
But they're sitting there versus the trusses. I mean, I don't know how long the trusses are, but you've got metal panels and they work on a different system than laying them on the fences. The trusses would have to be sheeted with plywood. So versus the panel, the purlins that you could install the metal panels on there. They're just sitting there. So, and provide an area to work in under.
It'd be a nice place because it'd be behind the house, be out of the way.
Put a little gravel.
Yeah, and then you got your floor just, pour a small piece of cement and have a nice cement floor.
Okay. Let's see the other thing. Why do we keep talking about the trailer campsite place and now we're going to do a study? It sounds like the government.
And we've already done this already.
Why don't we start already?
We got bids and everything. We already got mounts, but we have never put it in the budget. That's our whole thing.
But we've never determined a location. There's been a couple of ideas, and now that Chris has torn out some of those fences up along the well field where they're near headquarters, but they're kind of outside.
Can we just make a committee just go and say, yeah, this is where we want?
I'll go with you.
That seems to be the biggest problem. Nobody can.
And can that committee just decide and do it, or does it have to come back to the board and we have to kick it around again?
I don't think we need to. I think that one thing that the easiest thing in today, and we've talked about this, whether it was pavilion, the big pavilion, all these things, if somebody could, drive four laths in the ground and put some orange tape on it and take a photograph and say, this is where I'm talking. Anybody that's up there, could look at it for a while. Any board members get an email of it, and then everybody, at least have a public period to say if anybody has a better idea. If not, then we move forward.
And I'll put some still posts, some T-posts in the ground to tie your flag tape I gave you off on.
If someone on that plan, whatever word you use for that, can give an honest estimate on what it would take to drop any utilities out there that we choose to do. So I know we talked no sewer. But if you're going to give them water and power, they can give just an
honest. You can't give them water because there's not access
to
water.
There's enough RV parks to already tell you there's no tank, but we give you free dump. We'll give them free dump on the way in and way out. That's fine. Right. They're typically not going to be there long enough to overfill the tanks. If they do, you got the externals they can use. So I won't worry about septic until we recover the initial cost.
Okay.
But if we're going to drop power out there, maybe someone could just ballpark a price. To get it buried.
Can you pipe solar power 1,000 feet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you lose 12 volts isn't good to travel
long. That's a long way.
You have to have some really heavy gauge wire to move 12 volts that long. And then once you might be better getting another solar panel at the RV park.
If anything, it would be a matter of setting up a separate one right there with its own battery and stuff that they would hook into that at least just 12 volts to run there.
their life.
But the thing that I would say,
generators and whatever.
Can we just do a gravel pad and leave it at that, and they handle their solar power on their own?
Yeah.
We don't need to worry about that.
Because they got generators or whatever.
That's why, I mean, it gets back to the same thing. It's just spread the gravel and be done with it already.
Yeah.
They aren't there.
That's it.
And we'll take it off.
And whoever is looking into it, you have my approval of putting it wherever you want it. I don't care. It doesn't
when
matter.
We talked about it, I'll go up and put some on this market.
Okay.
I think we do need to have somebody to dump them, though.
They just need to have a, do we have a spot
you for
them?
You can do that at the ranch house. There's that connection out there, and they can just dump right there.
Okay. Last item I have is the $50 cost of the cabin per week. And if it's a split week, is that $25 for each half.
So it's a $50 reservation fee that was raised?
No. Okay, it says per week, and so I'm going
it
by
is
that.
Per week.
Like,
you put it per week.
Per week.
Yeah, $50 per week, you tell it.
That
right.
means if I split my week, it's 25 and 25.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
That per means? Reservation.
No.
No.
It was per
reservation. Per reservation.
Yeah. Per reservation.
You put it 25 a week.
Uh-uh.
Yes, it is.
I
remember that was per reservation.
Last week we voted to make it $50.
It is paid. The implement cabin utility fee $25 per cabin per week to cover the cost of entry.
I have on my notes. Well, who wrote this other one? That's
Mark.
Bottom of the first page. I know. I thought we implement a cabin utility fee of $50 per cabin per week. To help cover the cost of increase of gas and propane.
Okay,
that's why I
know
you then.
That's for week.
I don't have my notes here from last meeting, but that popped up in my mind is if there's two different families using that week, or if you check in and check out.
Reservation. Oh, I could have written it wrong. So that's what I'm saying. But being my notes say, cabin utility, I made the motion, cabin utility fee, $50 per week, per cabin per week.
To cover the cost, pay per flight, is what they're calling it.
And that was separate than the reservation fee.
It's a new reservation.
I should write it better then, because I better amend the note, because
I sent it in the newsletter.
And what did you say in the newsletter?
$50. The reservation fee has been increased to $50. And the way it works is if you make a reservation, it's $50.
Okay, let's go back to this, because we have a motion and approved. So what did we decide to do?
It was the $50.
$50, but it's the same reservation fee. The reservation fee.
Because you guys don't call it a reservation fee. What's in my book is called a reservation fee.
We call it in a
because a member is going to use the cabin for that week, so they pay $50 to cover the cost of using the cabin that week. In price of giving for all that.
Per week, and that's
But this is where I get a little
behind. This is per week, Mark.
This is where, how many of the board members use the cabin, do this versus have their own, and don't use the ranch cabin, and how much of the association fee is to be used for cabin use. And so this is where I happen to represent the people that use the cabin, where a lot of you don't. And so when you vote, I thought the association fee was designed to include cabin use, again, whether or not Brent used the cabin or not, or someone else.
We did it because the propane cost went up so high. We decided we needed to have some more because all that propane that's being left on or whatever happens. And so the people who aren't in the cabin
aren't using any propane, but the propane cost has gone up, and there's just more and more.
Cost of laundry, the cost of fuel go back and forth. Everything's gone up.
So we said, so the utility
is what it was. Because of the cost of things going up. Well, the dollar doesn't count. Next time, go for $100. So here we are. And so we also talked about doing things like do the pilot lights on the stove have to be kept on if the cabinet is being used. It may be different for the water heater, but I see those pilot lights on the stove.
That wastes a lot of gas.
And it's just as easy to light it with a match as it is just the click of the...
Turn on the tank and light your pilot light.
So the only thing that would be left on would be the water heater and the cabinet.
You could take them out, too, if you don't have them there for a few weeks.
What about the refrigerators?
Same with the refrigerators. So it's either turn it on.
If they know reservations coming in, they could go up there and light pilots in the evening.
They'll take a couple of days to cool down.
Oh, the refrigerator?
Yeah.
No. Well, that's a good point. There's times when my cabin number 6 and number 10 aren't used at all for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks even.
Well, we already approved that you could use your, as long until we have a problem and an overuse of cabins, you could take your 2 weeks and take it in four half weeks.
We did.
Yeah.
And so I think this should be the same thing. That yeah, it's $50 per week. If you use your week in two half weeks, then
it's the same fee. The $2 whether you did it four times or
one. No, he's saying as we break it down.
He said 25 for a half week.
Yeah, I think that if somebody, like I said, until we're trying to encourage cabin use, not penalize cabin use, but we also are trying to raise some money, but yeah, if there's somebody that comes up four half weeks, then they should still pay $100, or if they come up for 2 1-weeks, they pay $100.
I agree.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, this is the way it was worded, and we voted on it, is the way the motion was worded.
Okay, so what we should have put... Per cabin, per, well, not per weekend, per reservation.
And then what did you say in the newsletter? Is it done or out?
No. Because in the minutes, I put per cabin per week. So we have to either go per cabin per week or per cabin per reservation.
Right. And now, well, I voted on per cabin per week.
That's
the exact way that you wrote it.
That's the way I wrote it. We voted.
So if you use a half a week, you use a half of the 50.
Then you use half of the 50.
So leave it that way and change what it says in the newsletter.
But that's hard to track all that junk. Bookkeeping.
Well, you're
I haven't had anybody take advantage of the half week yet. So it isn't hard.
This is only a Dave Turley issue.
It is. Nobody ever.
Actually, I plan on using my cabins this year.
I hope so. Good for you. Welcome to the club.
But it's not a day trail issue. It's members that don't
have the cabins that don't. I have this secret list of people that talk to me about this, so I just want to get it on record.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Let's move on.
Yeah,
here.
Sorry, but I'm not clear. It's very clear. I did not create this.
It is crystal clear. This was the motion made by Shauna. It was seconded by Ben Clarkson. It passed unanimously. If anybody wants to change it, you can bring it up. Until then, this is black and white English. It is per cabin per week. It's not per reservation. If somebody doesn't like that, then they can change it.
It's been voted. It's been passed. We're moving on.
Okay, I'm done.
Moving on. Anything else?
Okay.
Okay. So is that $25
then
for a half week?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He's deducted from his half week when he takes his half week off his bill, okay?
I like to be the same economy. You need to keep it all straight.
All right. Paul's items, report on all actions. He's right out there pretty much. You had that thing.
Where are we at? Oh.
Did anybody make up the list of the DSR approved contractors?
No.
No, that was supposed to happen. Because we had a couple of weeks ago. And they said it was going to happen. You told us you were going to.
Well, these are some of the tasks I wrote down.
You were going to supply us with the stuff that you use in your in your thing.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah.
This is when the reminder list of tasks that I requested by me because I don't always follow through on all my tasks.
Oh, Linda was going to make the list. We were going to give them.
I was going to get one that we used, and she was going to add to it people that she knows is already up at their
place. Because we specifically said that in the meeting.
Everybody on the board was passed out a additional numbers for Wingate. I got those from the person I was dealing with last month.
I need one.
I think there's a few additional phone numbers. Did we make any movement on the landfill situation? Who was working on that?
Yeah.
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 I am.
I'll keep working on it, but that's where it is. But if we won't, and I won't, if we don't keep them on here. And,
okay. We talked about the upper signage for the upper and lower gates.
Did you all get my forward assignment?
Yeah, I got your email assigned forward.
They seem to be quality signs, and
right.
You can do anything you want on
them. Well, and I've got another one that but can you make up a mock, and then we could get a price with one or two?
Yeah.
I mean, let's just make up a 24 by 36 size, something like that. Try to get clear but big enough wording. I mean, it's got to be at least inch and a half letters, so it's readable.
The wording you want what?
The sign of contractors?
No, a sign in the upper and the lower gate.
Oh, sorry. Spring. Your Springs Ranch, what?
We wrote that up last month.
Yeah,
your GPS is wrong.
The most important sign is to get people off the county road onto the airport road. That's where we lose more people.
Or the bottom. Yeah.
There should be a main sign on the right-hand side of the road saying turn. That's where people go on by that 10 miles and say, gee, I didn't realize Deer Springs was this far.
Yeah.
And that's the main
sign. You're saying just past the airstrip where it says lock gate ahead.
Well, you turn there's about six little signs there, and all of them just confuse you.
And they're all okay. Right, so you know. In the minute we wrote down, county needs a sign telling the GPS users not to travel dirt roads.
Right, and that's at the end of the pavement.
That's
okay, end of pavement. Okay.
That was not our signs.
Okay.
Yeah, well.
So who talked? We didn't talk to the camera.
We have a couple signs, but so I will work with Linda. Linda.
Yeah.
You've got to come visit my office.
Okay.
If you don't come between now and next meeting, all these people will
I'll call
be mad at me, and I'll blame you.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, the contractors.
Are we going over any of the other discussion items, or are we going to...
Okay.
Some of these other quick items we had on there were some things that I guess me and Chris were talking about.
Well, I just had a question on these down here, Chris. Just to jump down that, the brush hogging for Rod Johnson.
Yeah.
Has he been up there at all?
He hasn't. He just had, you know, one day, so like.
Well, we agreed to, I mean, I,
he has
that end of all.
Actually, no, I think he went and hit him and ran a big
Okay. Well, if he is, we want to help service people.
Yeah,
we raised our fees so that it's productive at least, and it's not a loss for us. And that'd be a chance to visit with him and say, where is your water meter, and take care of that.
Hey, back up.
You're
killing me. I can't follow you because I'm trying to take notes, and you're skipping all over.
Hey,
where
listen,
are you at?
If you got to go back to third grade, I am. I don't know.
Hey, one and two follows one, and three follows two.
Hey, where are you at? We're on ABC.
There's no, we're back on Q, and we're starting. Well, I mean, we're on A.
Are we going to set up an additional phone?
Didn't do it. 13A2. Hey, we put not yet.
Still need it?
What Chris does need is an additional radio. Did you get that already taken care of?
Oh. A ranch radio? Let me just real quick respond on Bob Becker.
Where is he?
Bob is sending a shipment of radios to me. He was still trying to get, he owes you one, right?
Me too.
And me one, and you two, and Lynette one, because I gave mine and Lynette's to a member, and he said he has a couple more for order. He's reprogrammed because he found a software thing. Anyway, he shipped yesterday. They'll be at my office. As soon as they get there, I'll text or email you, and you can stop by my office and pick it up.
So when you come in, when you come in town this week, Chris, I just want to get Chris mine if we needed to.
Well, and you can take mine until we can get another one. Yeah, maybe he'll send me an extra, but it's already shipped. I already have a UPS number.
What are you guys going
to get? $50.
That's about right. They're 43 on Amazon.
Yeah.
My friend found them too, and he started sending me stuff.
Well, the nice thing is, Paul's gone through, downloaded the software, and programmed them all, and that would be important.
No,
$43.
No. Well, and you're right. He is giving you the right card.
Yeah, he's got them tuned in and ready to go.
Are you leaving?
I'm out.
He's jumping around here. 8 to 10. He's got to go.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the on-site landfill then? Is that part of your stuff?
Yes, yeah. I already reported.
He just reported on it, so he has reported.
He has some stuff on it.
He's still working.
Sorry.
He
gets to leave.
He had all the trouble. I walk out.
Okay, we have your insurance when I get
there. We are in 14 section.
Okay, so wait a minute. Did you transfer?
We talked about that.
You were late.
Right on top of
that. I want you to know that I left a meeting at midnight last night, drove home, and I didn't get there until 6 this morning. That's my wife. I fell asleep and my husband woke
up. I tried to call you this morning.
Sorry.
There's a missed phone call.
All right. Okay, we're on 14A. No, we did that.
No, we already did that one. Okay. We're going to do that later.
Okay. We decided not to do the.
I don't want to go into that kind of shop.
Should we get a good price?
On B we've stricken off because they said there's no savings for us for transporting fuel.
B.
And so just so Davey knows, I was just wondering if when Chris comes to town, if you couldn't take a couple barrels of fuel back to save us a delivery fee.
Good idea.
But they said there's no savings. On a work agenda, we wanted some kind of a agenda with Chris and Kelly so they know.
We talked about doing this at the end of last year. Dave Turley suggested that we make a list by month of things that
that's
need
our
to
top
be done.
10. We've been talking about doing that top 10.
I've not gotten any reports on what is being done or what hasn't done, and it's not critical that I receive it, except that I am your PR person, and if people call and want to know about things, it's nice to be in the loop. So I don't know exactly.
They need to know that.
We all need to know that. What's going on out there, what Chris is accomplishing and what he's doing. Like, for instance, the movie came out at the end of the season this last year, and I knew that Dale had been working on lots up there. I could tell them you can get up there a lot easily because they said they hadn't been able to get up for a long time, and they were pleased to be able to get to their lot. But knowing what's going on is really helpful.
So you did the visitor. Is that...
Hmm?
You put the newsletter out?
Yes.
So I'll work with you then to give you the information you need to. That's
how.
Well, we should have a list on the board.
Because our ranch manager should be keeping that top 10 list.
Right.
Chris is working off the top 10 list.
Yep.
And as things rotate through that list,
we move them on.
They're working together, and then it shows up in the newsletter.
And I'm paying the bill.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know what happened. So I know what's going on. Well,
somebody
eat ground. The thing that I, last year we worked really hard and complained and talked and all kinds of things about getting a weekly report from the manager. That's what I would like to have. Is a weekly report of what's going on, what's going on. And even if it's when you bring me the receipts and the money. That would be fine. You just kind of know, keep updated. But I thought we were supposed to have weekly or even daily reports to every member.
We've got the phone and the computer moved down to the office now. It's just a lot easier for me to
sure.
do it.
So is there a daily log that's being done? Is there a weekly summary of what's
right? We were supposed to be working on that.
Before. I started to do daily emails and then I...
What happened to our top 10?
The problem is it's 10 o'clock at night. Chris is still out there grading somewhere.
But at 6 o'clock in the morning, sometimes there needs to be an update.
Let's say once a week. I mean, is that fair? I mean, if it's one every day, I can do that too.
That's the way I look at it. I'm not the manager. I'm not the general manager. I'm not anything except I pay the bills. But the way I would like to see it done with the managers who I worked closely with in the past, very closely with, I think since there's no, but you guys are out there, so I don't know. Since there's nobody, like if you were working at a boss, you have a boss there all the time. They see what you're doing. They know what's going on. If there's nobody there seeing what's going on or what you're doing, then as an employee, I would want to do a daily report so that they would know what I was doing since they're not there to see what I was doing.
So,
you guys are out there all the
time. Can't Christian send and keep Dale, all board members in the loop with a two or three sentence?
That's what I think.
Well, wait, that's really simple if we have the top 10 list, because you say, okay, this is the thing we want done first, second, third, fourth. He says, okay, that's complete. That's all he's got to do. This has been really pleasing.
He knows what he's working on right now, though.
Yeah.
He knows what he's working on. And we're saying, can he just report?
But we need to. We need to still have a list there. Okay, the board one.
We're not going to spend time for top 10 list today.
So it might be in your own best interest.
You guys are kind of missing the point here. Chris knows what to do. He really doesn't need to be told what to do.
Exactly.
If someone tells one of you guys, say, this is a problem, we need to get it done, Chris is, he's remarkable. You don't try to hamper somebody like that by giving them leave. I say you give him freedom to work. You tell him what needs to get done. I guarantee you it'll be finished. You know? Don't put lists together to make it hard for us, you know?
But my opinion on this, too, is maybe a little bit the opposite. The last branch manager, if we know what he was and or wasn't doing, we may have been able to guide him a little bit more.
Right.
So it could be in his own benefit to voluntarily do it with or without the board's request. Because I know without supervision, yeah, he may bust his ass all day, but if we don't see all the little stuff he does, it never happens. And if he just offers it to us, it wouldn't hurt. Even one-liners are fine.
I think so.
Throw anything together. I'm not looking for, you know.
Right.
I think he should be reporting. I just don't think he should be,
well,
too many supervisors.
We have one supervisor and one list. And I think it's in his own best interest to voluntarily do it just because of our last experience, last ranch manager.
Who
we gave him too much slack, and he hung himself.
Well, and he was reporting cleaning the tool shed. Week after week,
yeah,
after week,
and we're also talking apples and oranges in relation to people.
I agree.
There's no doubt that. And he can prove himself over time.
And he has.
And he's done an awesome job.
He's already.
He is doing an awesome job, but maybe he should take it upon himself to not get himself in the same position.
If I have one complaint about Chris, it's because he doesn't take his days off.
That's a big one.
So, Chris, can you just see if you can...
More pictures and more pictures. You already got a good picture.
Even without doing the pictures, it takes a while to download and so forth. You just put a, hey, you know what, a couple, two or three times a week or something, just say, you know, I've been working on roads in Slide Canyon. I've been working on camping around Wellfield. Just so we kind of know what's going on.
And I would say daily, even instead of kicking it in on two or three times a week, do it daily. And if nothing else, we have a log of what you're doing, where, when, and if you can.
In my email account, I have a folder that says Manager's Daily Report. That's where I put that, so it's there.
And like I said, now that we've got access moved downstairs, it'll be a lot. And once it's out of
it
food, it's just natural.
Sure.
It's like a diary.
Yeah, it is. Once you do it, it just becomes so easy.
Yeah, I did.
That's right.
Okay, so Chris, you'll work on that, and then we'll work on coming up with some ideas to get an agenda maybe for next. We're in our slow time. He's just in that creative. Whatever the weather is going to do right now, anyway.
No, he's perfect.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
We're not afraid that he's working.
Are we still capturing any mice?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, even?
We're going to
expand. Oh, yeah. What happened to our
staff? Managers, five, and everybody. I mean, sometimes 14, but.
Really?
On average, five.
Are you putting them in every cabin?
They're at all cabins except for cabin.
You
didn't
want
them?
So, where's the dead mice?
Oh, yeah, not just cabin. I'm sorry. Oh.
Feed them to the birds.
Get them fat.
I was there once when we did pull out 14 right off the get-go when we started doing that. It was amazing.
That bucket
was amazing.
The list that I sent you, that rainy day list that I sent you, was that helpful?
Good.
I think that's what they're.
I mean, pretty much everything you said on that list, I was already doing.
I know you did. Yeah. I know you did, but that's what they're talking about. Yeah. It's just a list to work from.
I just tweeted out twice that it's mine, and I'm sure it's
nice. I can't do it. We appreciate that.
Don't throw away history.
Moving here. We talked about setting up a couple cabins.
Right.
For rent. And my personal thought is cabin 4 doesn't get used often. And 6, 9, or 10.
Well, if we get snow, we can use them for skiing or cross-country skiing or sledding or whatever.
I'm talking about cabin rentals.
Yeah. I don't know.
It says
primary
rentals. Long-term rentals or what?
Okay. But you're not talking about you're talking about all the time.
I'm trying to generate some money. So
your biggest, you guys have got more money for the cabin. It's your biggest asset, and you guys use it. Everybody report. And report to it.
Why does it have to be a specific cabin that's rented? Why couldn't it be as they are available? It
has to meet code. If we're renting to the public. It has to be
secure. Here, I'll do this for
good. Do any of them meet code? Where do they meet code, Linda?
Huh?
Do any of them meet code?
No.
Not for public rental.
I don't think there's anything for our owner he rentals, do they?
what is code?
Well, like renting a hotel room.
But
fire extinguisher.
No, extinguishers you got to have.
How much does that have in South Africa?
Handicap you got to have.
Which is? Fire extinguishers.
Which is?
Fire.
Health, fire.
But specifically, are we talking about a fire extinguisher, a smoke alarm, a handle to the bathroom?
Yeah, handicap.
Does it have to be handy?
Well, we can probably get by with pretty simple stuff, especially for the cabins that don't have any electrical in, like those I have. You know, that's...
Cabin 4 is plumbed with electrical.
Well, I'm starting to use cabin 10 and 9. I already have electricity. Start generating some money off the cabin.
Okay,
and then where put it lower in off the cabin. I agree, but where do we go with this, Mark? Because we kicked this idea around, and there's a little bit of pushback from Linda. She's saying that it should be legal. But what do we do?
It's going to take money to do it. It will take money.
No, just rent. Now, there's your money.
Do we have to generate?
You're going to have that B-R-O-Y-B, whatever.
Let me explain something. You got, in a business, you have to have a break-even point. One cabin is not going to constitute the advertising you're going to put out there, the cost it's going to be cost to fix that cabin. You have to have a break-even point. One cabin is not going to do it.
Well, it's a good place to start.
Well, I know, but it would not have to be publicly. You just have to tell people, your friends, and tell them to go there, because you cannot.
So if cabin 4 is the designated cabin, or 9 or whatever, does that mean it's not available for member use, and it is only available for rental?
You've got the free advertising out there. You can always do.
Okay.
You have the Craigslist.
And is this what we talked about at our exclusive pre-board member meeting?
No, that's only going to be about the bylaws.
That's about
only about the
This is one of those meetings I think we're talking about. We need to create a meeting to
talk about
income. Yeah. Okay. Moving on then. Never mind.
we don't want to talk about
that. Hey, the next item is winterize the cabin.
She's going to make a list of what would need to be done to the cabins to make it legal to be able to rent to the public legally.
Right.
Oh, brilliant!
I'm going to
change. Your word. Thank you.
You're welcome. I said it louder.
I'm going to change it to what it will take according to what we have, the way our DSR is set up. I'm going to change that, what it would take to be able to, or what we would have to do in order to be able to rent them legally. And so we'll report back next time.
And we can put that on our website. Hey, you know, we have cabin rails. Tell your friends.
Yeah, we talked about this in the past.
We have.
And what happened to the whole idea was let's just allow members to rent it.
Yeah.
And if they want to use their time that way, it's their...
And that's
going under
it.
Responsible for it.
That's the way it goes.
And you, through the real estate agencies, I mean, tell them, say, hey, look, if you're interested up here.
Well, the travel council will send people out there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
then
not the problem.
The people renting them out would need to know, have a list of that.
That's not the problem.
You're going to be putting them under their name.
Yeah, it has to be under the lot owner's name the way it is right now.
Okay.
And we could do that way.
Okay, this has been done for all these years.
Yes.
Why are we trying to
reinvent
perfect it or reinvent the wheel? What if we let it do what we can, let them rent what they can, and does anybody scream? Maybe in the next 5 years somebody would say...
Oh, if they started making money and somebody was opposed to that, that might be a problem.
Yeah, but why don't we go ahead and do something?
We are.
And not to reinvent
because
to check out the tax the implications.
And that's what I'm going to do.
You're going to check out taxes?
Yeah.
Why?
Because here's the point Mark is making, is this would generate money for the association.
Of course.
Me renting out my 2 weeks and using that to pay my association fee. There's a big difference here.
Right.
It would be income for the ranch. The cabin rental
right.
versus Dave Turley renting his 2 weeks out and Dave Turley putting that in his pocket.
Right, but if you give me the permission to use your lot to rent it out and the money comes to the ranch, I can assign it to your lot and legally that's okay
right.
for us to do it that way. That's what I was saying.
Well, you know,
I can take Sean.
I wanted to ask what time the ranch, the SROA, what time do you...
Oh, really?
Oh, there's, in the cabin.
What time do you own 2 weeks?
How much time can the SROA rent out? How much? If it's according to your ownership of lot, the SROA, how much time can you rent out?
Personally, I get 2-3 weeks for my assessment. Past that,
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the SROA.
For their lot?
Yes.
The four lots?
Do they own? Do they have a membership?
They should. Yeah. Three of them do. Well, one of them has no membership on it. Three of them don't. It doesn't pay an assessment fee.
Well, that's how much time when you go advertising. You better have some time.
It does the answer right here. DSR, you have 6 weeks.
It's a lot.
And they want to rent their lot.
6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can even fill those.
Yeah, try that first.
Yeah. I mean, we got rounds to start.
Okay, right now, people will come in and want to stay in a cabin because it's too late to get into town or whatever.
Yeah.
We've done that. And we have some people that come down, but what I use is assessed time from lot members.
Lot members. Yeah, I mean,
he's got a point. They have to pay assessments. And so I haven't
or not.
Yeah, I haven't used those, but there is no assessment paid on it. Legally, that's how it works. If it's assigned
that lot one.
And Shauna can come out and spend 10 weeks out there.
Well, couldn't they start paying?
But she's got two that are free, and the rest she has to pay for.
Nothing, but it's illegal.
And that's okay because it's an association facility. So, but that's what I'll find out and report next time. This is going way too long.
Yes, it is.
After the first of the year, Chris, this winterizing on the cabins. If we're still having the weather like we're having right now, any kind of open days, once we get a little bit of money back in our budget, if you can let Roma, we've got something coming in.
We've done already, haven't we? There's been people that have come down already.
So we got the lower cabins. We've got 10, 7, and 8, right? 6 and 9. Which
all right, once we get some more money in our budget,
not
if you can let them know so we can start winterizing.
That's the only two we're looking at.
Garden cabin, but I'm going to shut it down.
Well,
but it's like the garden cabin would be the first
budget.
Budget.
I would think that would be acceptable.
Next year.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh,
it's the
I don't understand what you're saying.
When we have money back in our budget.
Is that the easiest?
After the first of the year.
I'm putting out the cabins.
And we have some weather lighting now. We should be working on some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My plan would be to try to
let him know we're going to spend some money on this so he can start working on the restrooms.
6, 9, and
very bad. And you'd only have like the 4 foot left space you'd have to insulate. What about the carpet cabin?
He should, 6, 9, and 10 on the bed cabin.
It'd be the same.
Yeah, she said money will be fine if you start
fine.
January. Get some supplies from the, and just let her, you know, write down on supplies and get with her
what the money's going for so we can get started on that. So you might have, if you have some nice days where you can work on some stuff, do
excellent
it.
Excellent weather to get a lot of that stuff done.
Yeah, we
have. Well, you guys, you remember what Dale brought up, and it was a very good point last meeting, and that is we need to, those water lines run on the outside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to protect those interior water lines, we're going to have to insulate the outside of the building and then resheat it.
Yeah, and we've got to get this all done before we do the paint.
But Chris is already saying just do 6, 9, and 10, which is
you
can run them underground, and they're already insulated, so you wouldn't have as much
time. Okay, and then here's a big question for Linda. Are we going to winterize these cabins, and they're going to sit empty anyway? Mm-hmm. If they're not being used, are we getting part before the horse?
Right now they get used at Thanksgiving and New Year's, Christmas.
Not 6, 9,
you know, there's some good time right there anyway.
And not 6, 9, and 10.
The garden.
Even though gardening may be harder, it's worth the effort.
Absolutely.
January starts, Chris.
Okay.
Maybe have your shopping list put together between now and then. Get all lined up so you can start some progress and get some shopping when you come in.
But when are I?
January 1st, we want to make the garden cabins where you can stay in it year-round, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll look at that, and I'll let you know how long it's going to take. You know, it's going to take you a day, a month, I don't know.
Just let us know. Between now and then, just email me or talk to us about how that's going to start doing.
Garden cabin.
Number one.
Okay. Another thing, Chris. If you just open one of the bathrooms in the garden cabin, that would be enough for winter time use. You wouldn't need to have all four bathrooms.
You can't do that for one side. You got to do that for one side because that's the kitchen and two bathrooms.
Yeah.
You can't. You couldn't do the other side, or you wouldn't have a kitchen.
But you don't need all four.
But you don't.
Need
all four toilets, right?
Okay. You're
all right. Moving on. We talked about setting up the old van. It's a laundry. Chris has got it up and running good enough.
Using it or not?
Made it like a work truck, and we can move laundry from one end to the rest to the other without getting all dusty. So we're on top of that one. We already talked about the 40-foot container. Also, I guess continuing on some of the brush hog stuff there. Yeah, whenever you can on different days.
Let's do this. For January, okay, me and Brent, I don't know if you guys, it's the purlins and the extending the carport for the container. Give me a list. Okay, the garden cap and winterize it the first week in January. Second week. Build the awning off the carport.
Off the 40 foot, yeah. We're working on the 40 foot container. Okay.
I mean, that carport is probably going to take a week if we have all the material there.
Yeah.
The volunteers.
Okay.
Me and myself is going to take
it. It'd be really cool.
Are they the clothesline?
And if people have issue with whatever, if we use those white metal panels, they can be painted. The paint's going to peel, it's going to fade.
Who cares about why?
Well, because this became an issue, and I understand. If you're going to be looking off of 8 or 7, and you're going to look down, you're going to see this big white roof down there behind the ranch house.
Because it's going to be a rest complaint about the cabin when you're really high.
So it's going to be behind the trees in the summertime, but it'll be exposed. So if you are a seagull or if you fly an airplane, you'll see it.
You have
one of these
covering chicken
poop. Well,
he needs to work off
tree limbs up on it, and it would look as
there you go.
Whatever. If somebody
continue on this
from cabin 8 out towards Deer Spring Point. That's going to be there. It's not going to look like the rest of the ranch.
You could, like you said,
dirt will rust it, but branches or something would help it come out, or whatever it is. I'm just saying I can understand people.
It's summer season. Yeah, there you go. Hold on. I used to live out there. Okay, I'm finished. Okay, then you're going to work on the brush hogging.
sometime in January if you can. You won't get snow.
I'm dropped 20 degrees
tonight. See, if it goes cold tonight, it's not going to snow. It's dropping 20 degrees.
Did you guys get a copy of this stuff right here? Do you know where some of the print stuff we're talking about here? Some of these items on the agenda here, we've been talking about, like, continuing the MySQL, the road grade, the brush hog. What do you think about, you know, are you guys happy with what you're seeing up there for our results? What's going on where? Around the ranch house?
Really,
you've seen some big improvements.
I've seen huge improvements.
Okay, you guys
more like happen in 6 years than I have. Or last, yeah, I've seen more happen in the last couple months than I have. In the last
is there something that you guys, you know, from being here in our meeting today, is there something you guys would like to add or throw into us of what we're doing and any way to make this thing better? We appreciate you guys really being here. We really do. I just told Chris, I said, you know what, I don't think. It's all written down here, all the stuff we've been talking about. This is pretty much the top 10 list, if not more.
Yeah,
it's all right here. And I think as long as Chris has this stuff here, he continued to work out here. I don't think we need to sit here and keep beating this thing to death. You know, but we appreciate you guys as being here and input. So, like I said, if there's anything you guys, any special requests or something that we need to talk about, I'd really like to hear from you.
I would say the number one priority is let's get that grader down a little lower before it snows.
Uh-huh.
So if you need help with the tires, or you want to do it tomorrow, or
I can do it tomorrow or something.
I took that tire.
I took that tire off
with a screwdriver and a pair of tires.
So yeah, we need to get those on there and get that thing
yeah,
down.
Yeah, because that was the other reason why I did make the move.
Yeah.
To bring those tires with me because I don't want that grader stuck up
yeah,
north of the winter. I'll
once in a while
get the bury
it. Do it today or tomorrow?
Yeah. But,
I just wondered, Mark, if Alan or these folks had special things to input. They went out of the way to be here early.
Except we appreciate them being here.
I have a question. I know before Chris was hired, to be I'll call it he was going to be doing some of the painting on the cabins, and that was all discussed. And then I heard something over here. They didn't
want
to put off. So they did the dirty and stuff. Is that scheduled for what happened in 2013?
What I told the board when I got hired is to put that money they were going to pay me to paint the cabins back in the budget.
What happened on that is, Chris didn't know if he was going to be allowed to be a manager. So he was like, one way or another, he wanted to stay at the ranch and do something for a while. He wanted to get away from the city. He wanted a place to, you know, something to go do. And so when he talked with me, he says, I'll go paint these cabins. And that'll give me an excuse to be out of town for a couple
my
months.
Question,
but,
and I understand all
yeah,
that, that's good.
But
I was just curious what the timeline is going to be. I think we should be looking at that.
It's a big issue this year.
It's in the budget.
Yeah, it is in the budget. I've supplied Chris with a pressure washer that he can help blast off all the loose paint and stuff, clean those up right before doing so.
My plan on the winter time, can't do any painting right now. Your closet, your broke, or pipe, do all that stuff. Countertops, resurface those. You don't need paint prep.
That's painting on the inside. What about the outside?
That's all I'm talking about. Actually, anything that's broken on these cabs, I want to try and fix over the wintertime and then paint the outside. We've also talked about doing some renovation kind of, and it wouldn't be very, very expensive. I've talked with Brett Fulmer, kind of modernizing, making it a little more appealing. And me and Brett talked about routing out a log on some spots, make it look like kind of like a cabin inside. Rough cut board. Just simple stuff that would really change the look and appearance of this cabin.
But it's on the budget. It's a really crucial thing. I mean,
my first priority.
We tried to at the end of last end of this year, but
it's broken.
We had too many other things that had to go.
I know with a number of things that hadn't gotten done. I knew they had to catch up with it. But
yeah.
I was just curious.
Chris has really got a lot of his projects.
All broken things. And then during the spring, when it gets warmer, start painting again.
Dave, fixing the roof on the cabin tree.
So Dave's up there right now.
Yeah, that's what he was going to do last night. He's going to fix the outside of Cabin 3. Cabin 3 was one of their favorites that they can look across the valley to it.
Okay. Is there anything else that anybody wants to bring up on this meeting?
It just dawned on me that a perfect place for the RV pad is Shauna's love where those trees used to be.
Hey, I put a pad there. That's what I put, but if you want to come
over. Or should I say, Shauna's love where I took those trees from.
Convenient. He's got the wood for you to build a new house at around now.
I left some files in cabin 8 when I had it remodeled. It was in that closet. I never get it out. I'm letting that sort of stuff away, but I want to get that clean the closets out. You know, people have projects they want to do.
What about the auger?
We throw it out there. Well, anyway, if there's a pile in cabin 8, that's mine.
Yeah,
I donated it to the donated back to center some stuff I'm going to do.
I use it to
every time I go down again, it's occupied.
All right. Anything else, anybody?
You guys want to stop by?
That was the whole meeting.
Somebody's coming to rent a house. Can I make a motion? Okay. Sean's making a motion to adjourn. I'll second that motion. Someone made a motion to adjourn. I'm seconding that.
I third it.
Fourth that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?